welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can call me at 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Maybe we'll do some home improvement questions, if you have any. 866-901-ADAM. Claudia DeFalco is here. I said that right, did I not?
It's not Buttafuoco.
It's DeFalco?
Yes.
A nice paisan, huh?
That's right.
Fluent in Italian, Spanish, and French. I'm very envious.
I can only swear in Spanish and French.
Smarter than you and me. That's a shame.
I really, here's how she's sitting in for Rachel today, going to do the news. Overqualified, at least, if she didn't lie on her bio. I gotta say a few things.
Yeah.
I'm never impressed by things I can do. I know it just sounds like I'm being humble, but when someone says they can do this and I can do that, they can do that and I can do that, I always say big deal. Maybe it's low self-esteem, or maybe it's just the fact that I can do it that's not impressive to me. But when I hear about people playing the harp or the French horn or speaking multiple languages or doing things I just never could do, I could never speak three languages, I'm impressed.
Yeah, but if your parents shipped you off to Italy when you were seven to hang out with nuns and learn Italian, you would have been speaking Italian right now.
Well, we moved from Van Nuys to North Hollywood, which is really the same pilgrimage. I mean, from an experiential standpoint, I mean, the people aren't quite the same, but the topography in the land.
Yeah, must have at least had a shot at picking up some Spanish.
Sure.
Hanging around.
Sure, you had to.
You were shipped off to Italy?
How did
that
work?
They go with you?
Yeah, they came with me one at a time. They were never together.
Huh.
It's all going to be in my book.
What does your father do? What did he do? What does he do?
Well, for your protection, he was a construction worker.
Ah,
let's
in the
just
mob.
Leave it
and
at
so
that.
You must have been from the East Coast.
I was actually born in Toronto. I actually worked with Rachel at Much Music and City TV back in Toronto.
In Toronto.
Back in the day, like 7, 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's where I was raised.
And your dad was a mobster. This is very romantic. And you went back and forth to Italy to like boarding school?
No, it was just regular school.
Why Italy? He had family there?
Well, because we're from there.
Oh, the family's from
there. The family. The DeFalco dynasty is from there.
Was your dad born in Italy?
Oh, yeah.
So he came over. He has an accent and all that good stuff.
Big time accent.
And he came over here and he set up roots in Canada.
Uh-huh.
But not the United States.
Not the United States.
That sounds like witness protection.
Hence all those expensive immigration lawyers for my visa to work here.
Uh-huh. And was your dad not allowed into this country, or did he just choose
Back
Canada?
Back then he was.
Uh-huh.
Back then he was.
But now he's not. Wow.
Fantastic.
You know what's nice? You know, there's certain kinds of crimes that are romantic that we've decided are okay, and then certain ones we haven't. Obviously, pedophilia is frowned on by everyone but Bresca. He's got some sort of perverse obsession with it.
You can't judge.
But the mob, especially with the Sopranos, romantic. Mm-hmm. I mean, a guy who had a regular job and was a regular Joe and punching the clock would have a much more difficult time getting laid than a guy who said he was in the syndicate nowadays and maybe forever. It's weird. There's a sort of, it's crime, I guess, and they call it organized crime, but it's drugs and it's prostitution, it's racketeering, it's occasionally
You're
murder
saying, like, there's something
and extortion.
Wrong with that.
I know it's a weird thing, but it's kind of cool. It's okay.
Yeah.
Well, what I admire about them is that even though they whack people left and right, they're good family men, are they not?
Yes. That's what I've learned from watching movies. Well, and also, I think there's a sense, and you guys tell me, but whenever you watch these things, I was just watching HBO, and they had the Iceman, the mob hit guy. And
most fascinating documentary there is.
Yes, I love that guy. But mafia guys kill other mafia guys. You know, it's like they don't do drive-bys. The guys they kill, this guy was a petty gambler, a loan shark, in and out of the joint, owed this guy some money, and, you know, owed Joey the Jeep $2,500, wouldn't pay, so eventually they took him out in his mom's old Cutlass and they put an end to him. And you're sort of, if you're a Darwinist like I am, I think, well, what do we need that guy for? He wasn't paying taxes. He was just sort of hanging out and smoking. You know what I mean? He's gone. So they're weird. They're weird little community that sort of they're like catfish. You know, they kind of clean up their they're not bottom feeders, but they sort of take care and kill their own off.
They just,
and they don't monkey with the public.
I call it just cutting people off.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you, when did you know that your dad was a mobster?
I don't think I told you, Adam, that my dad
was. I'm going with yes. Yes.
It was back when I was a little girl.
Lucky Canuck.
Can I have some of that music, please?
Yeah. Is your, and your
mom's? You know that's called una tarantella.
Ooh.
Ooh la la.
Wow. I just
say it again.
Too messy.
Yeah, I never said he was, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to go back home to your family today.
I understand, and you're but he's in Canada. Hopefully, we don't reach that far. And
last
he
time
know
I spoke
how to get
to him,
on
he
the
was.
Internet. So, and your mom's from Italy.
Yeah, my
as
mom's
well?
From Italy. Yes.
Now, does your mom? I hate to weave my wife into the story, but her parents are from Italy.
Her parents are from Italy. Most of my family's in Italy.
And her mom is the one that sort of meets out the justice. You know, she's the one does the slapping and the yelling, whereas the dad sort of hangs out.
Yeah, that was more my mom. My mom is very, she's not a typical Italian mom. Like, everybody always wanted to come over to my house and eat and have a great Italian lunch. My mom does not cook. She does not clean. She's very Claudia, it is better to cry in a penthouse than in a bungalow kind of person.
Does she slap you around? Is she passionate? Does she talk with her hands?
She talks with her hands when she's mad, of course. But no, she's not passionate enough to slap someone around.
Really?
Yeah.
So you grew up, you're okay, you're not damaged goods. Here's
all
I'm saying.
As far as you know.
Well, let me just, you know, it's only a 4-hour show, but here's what I'm looking to avoid.
Are you going to be calling my parents?
No.
Are they going to be on?
No, I'm now frightened of your entire family.
Heaven forbid. I want no stink on us.
Here's what I'm worried about, Claudia.
Yeah.
You are one of these women. You're beautiful. You got a great motor in you. You got good energy. You speak the languages. Yeah. On paper, very strong. Very strong.
And foxy.
But foxy, yeah. Beautiful covered foxy. But you're foxy. You speak languages. You're beautiful. You have a great personality, great smile, and all that good stuff. I have found through experience at some point the wheels come off the wagon when you hang out with these people. You find out there's some compensation going on. And at some point, you're screwing around and you put your hand on their knee and then they freak on you. And then next thing you know, the tears are coming and they're screaming, "You're not my dad." And it's weird. And then you find out there's some strange abuse and now it's uncomfortable. Do you know what I'm saying? Whereas, like with me, you don't get a personality, but there's no baggage either.
There's no baggage?
No baggage. No personality.
Are you saying I have baggage?
I am saying, it's sort of like a guy.
I got Louis baggage.
What I'm saying is like you're at the car dealer.
Yeah.
The guy's showing you a beautiful, sleek sports car. He's telling you it gets 40 miles to the gallon and never breaks down, and it's $18,500. And you're looking at him and you're saying, "Well, what's the catch? Something's not right here. This looks too good to be true.
Well,
I'm
going to
get in this
instincts.
Car. It's going to break down.
You have good instincts. What do you think is wrong with me?
Well, I'm just going to assume there's something wrong with you and play the odds, but we'll get to it.
Probably by the time the morning's over, you'll get it.
All right. Well, good. So far, so good, though. And by the way, if it's a situation, if you're dating, then it's the greatest first 2 months ever, and then the worst last 2 months ever in the relationship.
Because of me or my dad?
No, because of you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people like you. Passionate.
Right.
Fascinating. Whirlwind relationships, great time, exciting, charged. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But then at a certain point, it starts to come out. And guys are this way too. The guys that are very passionate, the guys that are fast and loose and exciting. There's another side to this to the coin.
Okay, well let's get to it, Adam.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't want to get to it. That's my point.
I mentioned foxy. A said beautiful. He also mentioned dating.
Uh-huh.
What's your story? You have a fella?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. How's he doing?
Strike one.
He's doing good.
All right. Well,
he's a white boy.
Okay.
He's keeping up with me.
We'll see you later, then. Thanks for stopping by. Ross, can I escort her out of the building, please? All right. Is he in the business?
No.
No?
No.
No?
No.
No? What's he do?
He golfs.
Professionally?
No.
No?
for a living. He just golfs.
I thought we were going to say no again.
So he does. He's independent.
Yeah.
He's financially independent.
Uh-huh.
Did he make all his money earlier in life, or did somebody kick off?
Well, he's young, so yeah, he made his money early in life.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
How old is he?
Like 44.
He's 44, and that's it. He's set, huh?
Yeah. Thanks
I don't
to
like
me.
This cat.
You think that's a chink? Face? Does that indicate anything?
I don't care what his nationality is, Dave.
No, that he's 44.
Oh, 44, yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Well, how old do you think I am?
Well, that's a good question.
It is.
You don't look old. I would say I would have you. Well, now that I know that you're dating a 44-year-old, you're sort of proud of it and it's fine. Makes me think you're older. But I would probably say 31.
I was going to say 29.
I was just going to see you. Yeah, you could be anywhere from 27 to 33, but you've been. I'm looking at your resume. You've done some things.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
I'll tell you at the end of the show.
Okay, write that down. John?
Yes.
You have a construction question?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
On the corner of my door where the knob is.
Yeah.
The top corner of my door recently has been sticking.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried everything. I've sanded it. I've put candle wax and things you might know.
Yeah.
If there was something else I might try.
So the top part of your door is sticking?
Yeah, just where the...
Something where, on the knob side.
I had a solution.
What? Move?
Either spit on it or put some olive oil on it. Olive oil cures everything.
Wow.
Old world remedies.
Wow.
I never thought of olive oil.
You thought of spitting on it?
Well, I've used candle wax.
Yeah. All right. I call that nipple wax,
I guess
it's the same stuff. So, John.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Your house is settling if the door's rubbing at the top. If the door's rubbing at the bottom, then the door's settling. You know what I'm saying? But if the door's rubbing on the top, the door is sort of defying gravity and the house is sliding down. Here's what you need to do. You ready?
Yeah.
Don't sand the door anymore because you're just taking a problem and fixing it, but it's going to cause another problem. The door didn't change shape. That's not what happened. The jam around it sagged. You know what you need to do? Take something round and something like a big nail or something, put it on the upper hinge, and as you close the door and it pinches in there, flex on the door. That'll bend, that'll tweak the door down. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Am I drawing a picture that you can pick up on?
Yeah.
Take something just the top hinge and tweak it. The door will tweak down. It won't rub.
All right.
All right, Mr. Personality. What are you doing for a living? Auctioneer?
Actually, right now, I'm in between jobs.
Shocker. All right, buddy. We'll let you get back to sleep.
All right.
What are you up at this hour for if you're in between jobs? Have you been up all night?
No. I am going out early, starting to look for a job.
Okay. Are you talking through one of those computers?
No.
Okay. Because the technology's gotten evidently good enough on those where you can actually understand the person. All right, John.
All right.
Good luck in that interview.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Smelling of candle wax and olive oil. Steve?
Hello?
You got a question about hardwood floors?
Yeah, I live in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And my wife and I are looking at getting some hardwood floors, but the humidity and the heat, is this a good idea for me to go?
No problem.
No problem.
I'll tell you what you should do. First, spit on it, then put some olive oil on it. Boy,
it works,
exciting.
I swear to God.
Here's what you need to do. Just get the pre-engineered, pre-finished stuff. Don't get all highfalutin with the oak and the TNG and the drum sanding and the five coats of lacquer and all that stuff. Just get the prefab stuff and put it down. It looks good now.
Okay.
It'll be floating. And you leave a gap in terms of expansion. You leave a gap around the perimeter so if it expands, it doesn't buckle.
All right, yeah, because I know some of that engineered stuff kind of looks.
No, it looks good now.
All right.
You've probably been walking on it and don't even know it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Guys who are interested in home improvement really don't have much of a personality, I think we've learned. I may include myself into that mix. All right, Claudia. It was nice to get to know you.
That's it?
No. You're hanging here. I just, you know.
We got to figure out my baggage.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. I'll thump you like a melon during the break. Don't put my ear to your abdomen.
I might like it.
Yeah. Well, that'll be part of my thump test. We'll take ourselves a little break. David Spade's doing the show today. Bob Saget. Dave Coulier's package is calling in. Oh, and Bo Bice from American Idol. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Christian, the 13-year-old stand-up, and the King of the Roast, Jeff Ross, after this.
101 KUFO plays everything that rocks.
Keeps on raining, that is going to break.
Everything that rocks, right after the Adam Carolla Show. 101 KUFO.
The Adam Carolla Show is brought to you by Columbia River Motorcycle.
Get ready to take full advantage of the outdoor season. Get down to Columbia River Motorsports for all your Honda, Suzuki, and Polaris motorcycles, ATVs, and power equipment. Log on to ColumbiaRiverHonda.com to check them out today. ColumbiaRiverHonda.com.
Aikuma. It means fire in the native language of Canada's remote northern territories. And appropriately enough, it's also the name of an exceptional diamond from Ben Bridge Jeweler. Formed more than a million years ago, traces of the Aikuma diamond were finally discovered in 1991 after years of exploration in the frozen tundra of northern Canada. A million years is a long time to wait, but thankfully this stunning diamond is now available at Ben Bridge. Each diamond is meticulously cut to make the Aikuma sparkle with remarkable brilliance. And diamonds 1/3 carat and larger are independently graded and laser inscribed by the American Gem Society. Experience the dazzling fire of the Aikuma diamond for yourself, only at Benbridge Jeweler.
The Diamond People, Benbridge.
Downtown Portland at 5th and Yamhill and all major malls.
Hi, honey. While I'm out of town, can you go to Radio Shack and sign up for Dish Network Satellite TV for me? I mean, us. All four of us. Honey, this is a limited-time offer. We'll get 40 channels, including sports, music, and cartoons for less than $20 a month. Free Starz movie pack for the first 3 months. Free DVR receiver upgrade so you can pause, rewind, and play back live TV and record up to 100 hours of programs and watch all your favorite shows back-to-back, preferably while I'm at work. So just go get it for me. I mean us. Us. I mean, don't you and the kids just love those little bottles of shampoo I keep bringing home? That's got to count for something, right?
Sign up now for the Dish Family Programming Package at Radio Shack and get 40 channels for only $19.99 a month. And only at Radio Shack, get half-off activation instantly. So don't just settle for ordinary TV. Get Dish Network Satellite TV at Radio Shack. Good with credit approval through 4106 at participating stores. Activation fee, monthly DVR fee, residency, and other restrictions apply. After free period, must call in order to downgrade. Equipment must be returned upon cancellation. Subject to change without notice. Void where prohibited. Details in store.
I say Tea Party, you say?
Boston.
I say Massachusetts, you say?
Boston.
I say Beans, you say?
Refried.
No.
Pinto.
No, Boston. I say the first tabletop receptor for HD digital radio, giving you brilliant digital sound and audio explosion, you say?
Boston Acoustics?
Right. And that's my system for remembering the name Boston Acoustics.
Why can't you just remember the name Boston Acoustics? It's not like it's the preamble to the Constitution.
Well, that I remember. 4 score and 7 years
okay,
ago.
Okay, that's the Gettysburg Address.
I say Tea Party.
I say it's quiet time.
HD Radio, the revolution has begun. Go to HDRadio.com.
When you hit the brakes, do they work their best? Call the Clutch and Brake Doctors. New pad, shoes, and more on all four wheels for only $99. And if it ain't broke, they don't fix it. Trust the Clutch and Brake Doctor.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Best form of home protection, the Confederate flag. When people see that Confederate flag from the street, they know whoever's in the house has a gun and they're drunk.
The Adam Carolla Show on the Rock of Portland, 101 KUFO.
Trying to buy a car can be incredibly painful. You run all around town, spending all day, trying not to get had, and then you finally find the car you like, and you're asked to sign away your life. There is a better way. The guys at Metro Auto Wholesale have it down to a science. They have a mind-boggling selection of the best quality, lowest mileage vehicles anywhere in the Portland metro area. They've got what you're looking for. Metro Auto Wholesale has cars you want and lender relationships other car dealers only dream of. Due to the fact that Metro has supported 22 lenders continuously for over 20 years. Their lenders are currently offering some of the most aggressive interest rates, terms, and second chance approvals that Metro Auto Wholesale wholesale has ever seen. There isn't a dealer on the West Coast that can help you get your financing squared away better than Metro Auto Wholesale. Visit Metro Auto Wholesale at 72nd and Southeast Foster Road, or try them on the web at MetroAutoWholesale.com. Metro Auto Wholesale, the dealer that meets your needs and more.
Another boring Wednesday.
No, there's never anything good to do on a Wednesday.
What? Dude, that's garbage. Come on, it's Wicked Wednesday, man.
Finally, there's something to look forward to in the middle of the week. Dodge City Saloon is your home for Wicked Wednesdays and the first ever Miss Dodge City Search. KUFO will be there at 10 p.m. hosting the show, where Dodge City will be giving away prizes from Jägermeister, NorthwestRiders.com, and Renegade Motorcycle Clothing Outlet. The finals are this Wednesday, so head out to Dodge City for your chance to win some wicked prizes from the KUFO prize wheel. And watch the area's hottest girls compete for the right to be Miss Dodge City. Be sure to vote for your favorite girl, because the top three finalists receive a photo portfolio shot by That's How We Roll Photography and a Dodge City talent contract.
Did we mention these guys shoot layouts for Maxim and FHM?
So get to Dodge City on the corner of Andreessen and 18th Street in Vancouver. For more information, call 360-253-6603.
Hey, what's up, AJ?
Hey, not much. Just went to Verizon Wireless and got this amazing buy one, get one free deal on the Motorola Razr.
Nice. So that's why all these people are following you around.
Huh?
Seems like everybody wants one.
Oh, them. That's actually my Verizon Wireless network. They actually come with my phones. They go where I go.
Get one Motorola Razr from Verizon Wireless now for just $99.99 and get another one free after a $50 mail-in rebate. Get a pink one for just $30 more. It's VCast capable, so you can play 3D games, watch streaming video clips, and surf the web at broadband speeds. And it's Bluetooth headset capable.
AJ, so what are you doing with the extra free phone?
Well, I might have been thinking about someone's birthday.
So I get the pink one?
Hurry to any Verizon Wireless store or Circuit City or call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN today. That's 1-800-2-JOIN-IN. There's only one reason to choose a wireless company.
It's network!
Hurry, Razor offer ends Monday, April 3rd, subject to new two-year agreement. $35 activation and $175 termination fee per phone. Other charges and restrictions apply. VCast coverage and $15 subscription required. Coverage not available everywhere. Additional charge for 3D games. Call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN.
Ask Shucks Auto Supply for your instant in-store coupons and save big on spring car care products like Meguiar's Car Wash, Turtle Wax, Rain Clear, Glass Cleaner, and more. See the Shucks ad in this week's mail.
KUFO Afternoons, Marconi Show.
Joining us is Lonnie Bruin. Your eyes, like Christine Levine likes to say, don't like each other.
No, they fight with each other. They're like a 40-year-old couple.
I have what is called amblyopia, and it's a disease that you can't fix with your eyes, and I can only see right with one eye.
You're just always trying to taunt me, aren't you?
The Marconi Show. Afternoons. KUFO.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Claudia DeFalco is in studio, sitting in for Rachel Perry.
Some name. DeFalco.
She's an onion. I never get tired of peeling. And I'm not crying, I'll tell you that. Sassy little paisan from up in Canada way. They used to put way at the end, down in Mexico way or whatever, yeah. Way.
In Canada?
Yeah, well, they would do it when they sung. I think it was just an easy way to rhyme, but they'd say if you were from, you know, I don't know, they put way at the end of it, like Texas or something. Oh, someone's going to have to find me a song. Here's my point. Where was I? I'm flustered. I really am. Don't look at me, Claudia. I think that's what's doing it. Harley wants to get a tattoo of who? Harley? Harley?
Yeah.
You want to get a tattoo?
Well, a month ago, you said that you wanted to see a tattoo of yourself on someone.
Right.
Nobody ever called you or nothing. And I was calling to say, I got a spot to fill, so if you want to cover it, I'll do it.
Marvelous.
What do you got? Where's your spot?
On my back.
Do you have a lot of tats?
Yeah.
So that's one of the, one of the only open spots on you?
Pretty much.
Okay. And how does it work? We give you a picture, we pay for it, you get the tat?
Yep.
How big are we talking about? I'd like to go a little bit bigger than life size.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt.
Yeah. And I got a big bean on me, too. Yeah. How about we go the size of, let's go big. Let's go like 5x5. Or let's go bigger. Let's go the size of Brusca's areolas.
So softball size.
Yeah, softball. Brusca's areolas sounds like a WB sitcom.
Hey, you're not.
It's an Italian family who has to move in with an Irish family.
I haven't seen him yet.
Oh, you have not seen Brusca's areolas?
No.
You better be careful.
And yet I'm sitting in this chair.
Hop on the internet.
I'll get DeFalco's relatives and my relatives after you.
That's true.
Combination.
Hire syndicates. Yeah. Hey, so Harley, seriously, how about what size? You want to go like 4x4 or something like that?
4x4 inches?
Yeah. No, meters.
Bigger than that if you want.
You
want
to go bigger than that? Well, I mean, you want to go like saucer size? Do you want to go...
Sure. Yeah, saucer size.
Somebody's got to come up with a piece of
saucy.
Someone's got to come up with a piece of fruit that's flat. You know what I mean? Because you always use fruit. You know, oh, this guy, the hail was the size of grapefruits. Right. You know, but when you're doing flat stuff, all you got is fruit roll-ups. You know, someone's got to come with a flat fruit so we can just talk about when you're placing things.
Let's call it roll-up size. Roll-up size tattoo.
Is it a size of a dried apricot or a smallish fruit roll-up or more banana chip size?
An orange was hit by a rolling pin.
All right, so it's a orange that's been backed over by a truck.
Yeah.
All right, so the size of a one of those snap-on coffee can lids, that's
sure.
About 3.5 or 4x4. Would that be good?
Yep.
Okay.
Family-sized can of baked beans is what we're talking about, right?
That's what we're looking for. Okay, so how are we going to do this?
I don't know.
Okay, you're up in Sacramento?
Yeah, pretty much.
You're down Sacramento way?
Yeah.
See how that works?
No, actually, I'm Tahoe way.
You're Tahoe way?
Yeah. I just drive to Sacramento to work.
Dave is Beaver Falls gay, so you guys have something in common. So we'll get you hooked up with a tat parlor up that way, and we'll get this thing put on, and we'll pay for it?
Yeah.
And then you come down here?
Sure.
Okay. I'll give you a good headshot or something. Or do I have to pose for it? Look, if I have to shave, this is not going to go down.
That's all your call.
Okay. All right, we'll work it out. We'll put you on hold. But we're serious.
Yeah.
All right, and then you'll put my name under it so people don't think it's Greg Brady?
Yeah.
That's love.
And also, they won't think I'm gay.
Well... That'll be.
I think we're past that.
Yeah, that'll be up for God to decide, really.
Well, I thought it would make it a little gay instead of it just being the headshot.
Heart. Put it in the heart.
Just you in the nude. Well, that's something to consider.
That wouldn't be bad.
Body.
That wouldn't be bad either. But
or against your genitals.
Would make it gayer, and I don't know why, but then me in the nude is if I had the thumb coming up. If I was giving you the thumbs up. All right, Harley. Okay. What do you do for a living? Something that's not important.
An electrician.
Right? Electrician. You do the commercial or the residential?
Commercial.
Okay.
Commercial. I can't stand wiring other people's houses.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, have fun with the Romex and the LBs.
Yeah, okay.
And the EMTs.
All right.
Good times. Hang on. Oh, now Christian dropped off, our stand-up comedian. Jeff Ross is, he's a comedian's comedian. Which means the public doesn't like him, but the other comedians, huge fans of Jeff Ross, who would be known as the king of the roasts. This guy, and you really understand there's an art form to these roasts when you go to them, especially when you have done a few like I have. I've been around for a while, but I'm always impressed. It's its own art form. And Jeff, a funny stand-up for sure, but when it comes to the roast, nobody better. Jeff is on hold. He's agreed to mentor young Christian, who's now, I see, on another line. Let's talk to Christian. Christian?
Yeah.
All right. Now, we're talking about you coming out. Did you IMDb Jeff Ross?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, boy. But do you know who Jeff Ross is?
Yes, I know Jeff Ross.
You do? How come? Yeah. How do you know?
Well, you introduced me to him.
Oh, okay. But that's it. You wouldn't know otherwise.
Well, yeah, I actually did look up a couple parts on him on the internet. I know he wrote a lot of shows, I think more than The Man Show.
Yes.
And he was on, like,
a lot of the roasts. Okay. Not all of them.
All right, so you understand he's a pro, a seasoned veteran.
Yeah.
Okay, Jeff?
Yes, sir.
Sorry, buddy. I know it's early for you.
What?
The reason people get into stand-up is not because they love comedy. It's because they hate getting up in the morning. If you really think about it. I mean, Jeff, to be fair, it's 50-50. You do have a love of performing and of comedy, but you really hate the alarm clock, too, right?
If I had to get up every day at this hour, I would not be a comedian.
Right. And the point is comedians, the earliest you have to get up is 6:45 in the evening. Right? I mean, there's no gig that starts before 8, is there?
Once in a while, you got to do a sound check or shake a hand.
Right. By and large, it's a good gig.
It's a nighttime thing.
Right. And therefore, and anyone who has a nighttime gig automatically will sleep all day.
It took years to convince my family that I wasn't lazy because I slept all day.
Right, right.
I'm a comedian.
Right. You had to convince them that you went to bed high at 4:30 in the morning, and that's why you slept all day, not because you're no count.
Lesson one.
Right. Christian?
Yeah.
Did we talk about working out any more material with you?
Yeah, you did.
I think that's implied. He better continue to progress with material. Last week, Jeff Ross gave him tough love. He didn't approve of, some of his bits there.
Yeah. Yeah,
it doesn't have to be a free ride just because you're 13.
Sure.
Right. That's a good point. And like we talked about, in Jeff's religion, you're a man at 13.
Yeah.
Hence, you should be funny.
And show business, I mean, you got to have thick skin.
Yeah. And it's true, 13 in show business, I mean, what if you're Mickey Rooney? You know what I mean? He was a seasoned, grizzled vet at that point at age 13.
Mm-hmm. Shirley Temple, Dave Chappelle.
That's right. All right, so Christian, do you have some more original material for us?
Yeah, and I took advice to what you guys said last week, and this time I'm not using the bullets either.
You're not even using written down bullet
Completely
points.
Completely off the top of his head.
Yeah, this is me right now.
From the heart. All right.
This is a good start.
Let's hear it.
All right, this one's on movie theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I go to the movies a lot, and I love the movies. It's just sometimes I don't like who I'm seeing the movie with. I've had about every type of annoying person that goes to the movie, but I think one of the worst was this lady who was singing during the movie theater. It was out of nowhere, and it wouldn't have bothered me, though, if she had known the words to the song that she was singing. I'm trying to watch a movie, and she's attempting to sing All Out of Love by Air Supply. But if you can't picture it in your head, it kind of sounds like this. I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. So long. It got real annoying real fast, but I can top it. When it had come out, I went to see Star Wars 3 at midnight. I went to the midnight showing, and it was a good movie, but it would have been better if I wasn't sitting next to a guy who was placing bets on who he thought would win.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the movie, and this guy's losing his life savings. But to make matters worse, I was sitting directly in front of my history teacher that day. And we get along well, but this was a big event. So he had come out and told me, Christian, if you ruin this for me, I will fail you. And I knew he wasn't kidding. You could tell he was being serious. And that's not a problem for me. I won't talk. Unless you're sitting next to a guy who's screaming louder than a little boy who just got back from Neverland Ranch.
Wow.
So the movie is almost over. We're doing okay. And the guy, it was like towards the last battle, the Anakin-Obi-Wan fight, and he chose Anakin. But he did lose at the end of the movie. So at the end of the movie, when he had lost, this guy's crying his eyes out. And everyone in the theater is staring at him, except for my teacher, who is fixed on me. And I don't know what the big deal was, because when I got home, I cried too. I was grounded for 3 months because of that F.
Wow.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, no problem. And Jeff Ross, comedian, will weigh in.
I'm intrigued to see how this goes.
Well, it didn't go a whole lot better than last week, and I think part of the problem may be that it's so conversational now that there's no punchlines. We're not exactly sure when to laugh. It's a nice tale that's being woven, but I'm not sure if it would work in front of a group.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Jeff, how say you?
Christian, you have the delivery of a school bus.
Wow.
Well, that's bad, right?
I think when the live crowd
Christian will rise to the occasion.
Uh-huh. You think he'll feel the energy. Yeah, it's hard to do stand up into a phone.
Come into the studio, it's very intimidating. You call up the Adam Carolla Show, it's very intimidating. I think with a live crowd, with his friends there. Yeah. First of all, I think it's leaps and bounds from last week. I thought Chris was much more relaxed. Mm-hmm. I thought the material was more appropriate. Star Wars was great. Mm-hmm. Michael Jackson, a little edgier than last week. And it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And me laying in bed listening to it found it strangely erotic, even.
Well, again, according to your religion, he is a man, so he's fair
game.
He's a
man, full-grown man.
That's right. So,
and show business, you know, he's prime meat.
Right. So in bed, finding it erotic and finding it funnier than last week, Jeff.
Finding it funnier. Maybe I'm becoming a fan, Christian. Mm-hmm. That could be it.
Mm.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, this has turned out more positive than I anticipated. So,
well, he came out swinging too, Adam. Like he was prepared, and he seized the moment a little bit more than he did last week.
Well, let me say this. What about my criticism where we're not exactly sure when to laugh? Maybe there's no pauses that are built in for what we can recognize from a cadence standpoint as a punchline. It seems to me like he's sort of pushing through. Now, maybe when there's a live audience and he's not just talking into the phone, those moments will present themselves. But for now, it feels to me, and I'm no stand-up, Jeff. I'm just asking you, the expert.
Right.
It seems to me that there needs to be a little more of a cadence to it instead of just pushing through from start to finish.
Hey, you never heard Dane Cook.
Yeah. Now he's on top of Jessica Simpson. There is no cadence.
You know, I think that will all come with time. I think he's got to sharpen his pencil a little bit.
Sure.
But I think there's just some real raw talent there, and I think it's worth pursuing.
All right. So Jeff says you have some raw talent. He'd like you to masturbate more. I wasn't sure about the sharpening the pencil part, but either way, there's some. Use olive oil. The bones are there. Spit in olive oil. When can you guys do a gig? When can Christian come down here?
I think it's a good point. I think what we need to do is put this kid in front of a live audience.
Yes.
You know, a supportive audience. Not going against the Lions, but, you know, people that are inclined to like him. So that if he does okay, he'll feel like he's really doing, it'll be encouraging.
Right. So let me use a boxing analogy here for a second. It's time for him to get off the speed bag and the jump rope and get into the ring, but let's not put him in with a guy who's 33-0 with 29 knockouts.
We need a tomato can.
Yeah, we need somebody who's not a killer. We don't want to take the kid's head off and discourage him.
Well, how about if it's like a combination of, say, regular comedy fans or, let's say, you know, and fans of Christians, you know, fans that he might make with his family or on the radio.
Right. All right.
And I mentioned this to the improv.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be willing to, they'd be willing to put him on stage.
World famous improv.
The Melrose one.
Yep.
Okay. Well, perfect.
The birthplace of such great comedians as Ted Blumberg and
Bill Kirkenbauer.
Bill Kirkenbauer.
Yeah. And Geechee Guy. All right. I love when Kirkenbauer does that roll-on deodorant bit where he pulls his sweater up over his bald head and makes like roll-on deodorant. That's good stuff. Ross still claims that was stolen from him, even though Jeff has a head of healthy hair. So we'll work this out. Christian will perform at the Improv, the world famous Improv. You'll do a little work, a little set yourself. Maybe all MC.
That sounds like fun. You all MC?
Yes. When do we plan on doing this, Jeff Ross?
You know they don't have a teleprompter at the Improv.
Hold on a second. I gotta let the cue card girl catch up with that. So I come up with a snappy retort. Yeah, in your face.
Nice.
Wait a minute. So says you.
Good job, Shelley. Nice hot work. Stuff.
All right. Yeah, my stuff's in black and Damashek's in blue. Otherwise, I'll start.
I don't think she's giving her all when it comes to me.
Evidently. Neither do the listeners. Nice one, Shelly. Quick on the draw, this one.
Give me something quick, Shelly.
Yeah. Before this, we used to do them both in black, you know, but I started doing Dave's sports at the 7 o'clock hour. All right.
So I'm going through my calendar here. Kristen,
yes.
What about... if Adam MCs and I headline, do you think you could open for me?
Yeah.
That's big of you, Christian. And you're going to need to get a day off of school. But this will be this will be the best education you ever had, kid.
Oh, yeah.
Come down here, Los Angeles way, have the likes of Jeff Ross take you under his wing.
How's May 10th? I'm looking at my calendar here. How's May 10th?
That sounds great.
All right. You don't have to get your braces tightened or anything?
No.
Okay.
Forget the one day. I say pack a duffel bag full of underpants and your dreams and get on a bus and head down here.
Yeah,
down here.
Move in with Jeff Ross. Really embrace the lifestyle.
I love it.
Forget about your education. You guys sleep till noon, go out fox hunting all night.
There's a lot of stress involved.
Yeah, it's tough. You guys could hang out. And by the way, with cable, the History Channel, Bio Channel, all that stuff, you don't need school anymore, kid. You got yeah. TiVo. Hey,
my life is so great. I stay up. I watch Sesame Street in the morning right before I go to bed.
That's right. All right, Jeff. Thank you very much. Christian, thank you very much.
Well, right. Thank you.
So May 10th, is that what we figured out on?
Right around the corner.
Yeah, May 10th, we're going to do the show.
Coming up. Jeez, I got to start preparing. Let's get, what's our cue card girl's name?
Shelly.
start whipping up some, start making and being with the guffaws. And just give me the A-list stuff. All right. Where are we? We're going to pull the limerick name out of the hat?
Yeah.
All right. As you know, we've been doing these limericks for, well, now it seems like a couple of weeks. And why not? You know, our thing over here is if it's good and it's a funny premise, let's ride it into the ground because we're limited in our scope of ideas. Oh, Jesus, Shelly, don't write that. God damn. Did you see that?
You know why she does it. She hates this bit. She has to write limericks for all of us. It's a very busy 6 minutes for her.
All right, well, let's see if I can get back on the page here. But basically what I was saying is if we have an idea, and let's say it would be a 4, 4.5 on someone else's morning show, to us it's a 9, and we have to hang on to it with both hands. Come on, Shelly. Jesus Christ, I'm not going to undermine the bit. I'm just starting to think, like, you know, if it's funny, write it down. But if again, I don't want to attack myself via your Sharpie every morning. Now, how do we do this? Well, I reach into the bag of tricks, just as I've done every day, every hour for the last 2 weeks, including the weekends. Okay, Shelly, I'm not even going to look up anymore. I'm just going to look down and pull this thing out of the bag. Who do we have? Tad. Boy. They write themselves.
Nice.
Yes. Big Tad is the topic of our next limerick war. So we'll get on that. You, Claudia, we'll give you the skinny and you jump in. Do yours in Italian, would you please?
Va bene.
Nice.
È possibile.
Okay. I don't know what you said, but it's getting me hot. Big Tad is the... topic of this week's Limerick Wars. We'll take a break and we'll come back with that after this.
Hey, there's this sports announcer named Dave. He does crappy sports stories, sits in his grave. You tell him he's right, he'll say he told you. He tries to mimic Corolla. He lays on his back because you know he's a hack. Hey, just get rid of his ass.
There's a man named Adam Carolla who likes to masturbate with canola. With too much on in the tanning salon, his pecker turned into granola.
There once was a dumb Jew named Sheck, whose unfunny bits were a wreck. He's a balding douchebag and a pole-smoking fag. You should cut him his last paycheck.
Wow. Harsh words. That is what limerick wars are all about.
I like the insult that, or apparent insult that I am always doing an impression of you. Speaking of which, are we doing the impression off?
I think
tomorrow,
we are.
Tomorrow, the Corolla off?
Yeah, tomorrow. I think we are.
Cousin Sal's coming in. Funny man Jeff Fritch is coming
Kimmel
in.
Live.
Yeah. Yes.
and then they're going to impersonate Adam, and we're going to see who's the best.
I think we'll get a few people lined up, and they'll do their best me, which is always insulting and amusing simultaneously.
Yeah.
Yeah. They all start
Here's
with
the deal.
Yeah. And then
here's
the worst,
the deal.
And then they say something that's not funny, and I think, well, are they not funny, or is that me not being funny? What Shelley write?
I don't have
you
the answer.
It there. All right, now it is time for Limerick Wars. I am going to join in on the Limerick Wars as well.
Special guest star appearance.
Yeah, although, you know, I got to say, I've never done one before. I don't know if I've done one in my whole life, so I, in a way, I don't feel like I have my Limerick sea legs under me.
And I'm glad you picked me.
It does take a start.
Couple,
it takes a couple of times, but now if you're going to judge, you're going to judge yourself. So obviously you won.
Now I'll do myself as a little bonus exhibition.
Yeah,
you're not
competitive limericking.
Right,
this is an exhibition.
Right. Like
limerick.
You with Connect Four.
Exactly.
Okay, doesn't play. He's off the circuit. I mean, it's a young man's sport.
I've proven all there
You've
is to prove.
There is
I've
to
achieved
do.
It all.
Right.
I'm a three-time world champion.
Right.
What more is there to do in
That's
this sport?
That's right. He was 53% in the writer's room of the man show for a year. Did all he could do. All right. Nothing. No mountain left to climb in Connect Four. All right. Let's move forward here. I'll try to start with who I didn't start with last time. Let's go with phone screener Brian. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Big Tad, Limerick.
Okay. Whether you call him plump, rotund, or chunky, Big Tad is the Ace Man's flunky. He pouts and he bitches as he bursts his britches, and he'll soon be replaced by a trained monkey.
Hmm. You know, it was nice, and I like the rotund and all that. I'm not sure if he needed trained. He may have just... I mean, not that... You know, because I figure they'll learn on the job.
That's an excellent point.
All right. All right, nice job, Brian. Let's see, who's that? Brusco, why don't you go next?
Yeah. There once was a fat ass named Tad. His face, teeth, intelligence, and work ethic are all very bad. He's our show's flunky, he's obviously chunky, and since he can't bang a girl, he'll now try a lad. So sad.
Oh, yeah, you always do the addendum.
The Brusco signature.
Yeah.
The little extra rhyme.
Nice,
at the
boy.
End.
I think you both had flunky and chunky.
Yeah, unfortunately, we.
Well, I'll tell you what. What I'm going to do, Brusca, is I'm going to deduct a couple tenths because you wanted to jump in after Brian just rhymed flunky with chunky.
See, no, you can't do that because I'm just jumping in to get the clock. We got to get going because we got a lot of stuff coming.
All right,
up.
I understand, but I'm still going to have to deduct points because if you'd let a few people go and then got back
exactly.
to the chunky flunky,
but
rhyme,
for the good of the show, I wanted to go.
Well, now you're wasting more time. All right, let's go, Bill. Board op, Bill. Gay, pre-op, board op, Bill.
Thank you. I missed the pre-op thing. Tad is a fat mama's boy underachiever who is kind and friendly and loyal as a retriever. His panis hangs out. He'll probably get gout. And his hairy belly button looks like a beaver.
Nice. I'm going to give you some extra points for working panis in. Panis is the part of the man's... Well, they call it a gunt sometimes that hangs, slops over the belt line. That's the panis.
The Dunlop.
Yes, the Dunlop. Nice work. Claudia, how do you feel?
I feel that Ted is sitting next to me, and if I say something he doesn't like, he's going to sit on me.
He's in love with you, by the way.
It's Tad, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Better he should hate you than love you.
Interim news girl, DeFalco.
Yes. He will love you like...
Go ahead.
He will love you like baby Huey. Loves
I sure
someone.
Hope so.
He'll
here,
squeeze
hold,
the life out of you.
Hold my hand while I read this half-written.
Hey, shoot, all right.
Okay, I didn't finish it.
All right.
Had I had time, it would have been a piece of art. Poor little Ted can't get any action in bed. He's fat as a house, has the brains of a mouse. Yeah, that's what I said.
Abrupt, but to the point, and a nice first effort.
Oh, he's squeezing my hand. Stop.
All right,
but it's Tad, not Ted.
That's all right.
Oh, it's Tad.
I would argue that's a better insult, not even knowing who you are.
There you go.
All right, Dave, how say you?
Well, I want to, ahead of time, I want to thank Shelly, the cue card girl. She wrote a real gem for me here. Fat Tad's a guy who's got a bad smell. Last week, a small girl got a whiff and then she fell. No wonder all girls keep away. Stinks worse than roadkill decay. I'd rather sniff the ass of Vic Tayback, TV's Mel.
Whoa. Nice stuff. Nice work, Shelly.
Good stuff. Linda Lavin's adversary.
Powerful. Yeah. Boy, that's a tough one to Ouch. Judge. And timely as well.
I tried to work in, by the way, with the keep away and road decay. I was trying to work in by, Orange County way, based on your affection for that. But I wasn't able to, so deduct points if you wish.
Let's see. Let's go with, what's your name over there?
It's Mike. It's
Mike. Tez. That's right. Mike. You ready to go?
Yeah. I'll tell you about a fat guy named Tad. It's been years since a girl's touched his nads. A man, the man weighs a ton. He'll eat anything you put in a bun. And if he could quit the show, we'd be glad.
Hmm. A little bumpy, but I like the anything in a bun line. Let's see. Who else? Anyone else out there?
That's it.
All right. No, it's just me.
Oh, we got a caller. Janet.
Oh, we got a Janet. Let's talk to Janet here. I'm trying to score, figure out my limerick, and talk to Janet.
Buy Shelly an extra couple minutes.
Janet?
Yeah. Hey, Adam.
What do you got, baby doll?
Yeah, I got a limerick about Tad.
All right, let's hear it.
There once was a guy named Fat Tad, whose appearance was grotesque and sad. He one day will die eating burgers and fries, and in death he'll still wonder why.
Hmm. Yes, the why part was a little rough.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dark.
Yeah.
Well,
dark.
I thought these were supposed to be funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, remember, you did play Death on Family Guy, so I had to throw that in there.
All right. Yeah. Hey, I'm trying to think what rhymes with aneurysm. Shelly, work that out. All right. Now, because Shelly was working so feverishly hard on the likes of Damashek.
Steak and peas. And heart disease. That's what I came up with. Maybe you could incorporate some of that.
I only have three quarters of a limerick here, so I'll see if I can muddle through it. Is everyone gone?
Yep.
You worked everything out? All right. There once was a doorknob named Tad, who still lives at home like a lad, with manatee size girth, coming in at 273 at birth. Oh, I don't know.
You could have finished it.
Yes, yes.
273 at birth was strong.
Yeah, this limerick is very sad. There, I think that wrapped it up. I want to thank everyone for joining in, and now it's time for the scoring. Brian, nice job, 8.4.
Sweet.
Always good. Brusca, 8.2. Bill, pre-op, board op, 8.9.
Thank you.
I like the work. Claudia,
incomplete.
7.9, incomplete, but I'll pass you along to the next.
Dave, wait, that's a score for what, the poem?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, and the looks, you're at least 9 and change. Dave, 8.8, solid effort. A nice job.
Payback, TV's Mel, I thought would have...
It was good. You know, it really came down to you and Bill, and maybe it's just I expect more out of you or more out of Shelly or something like that. But for some reason, I just thought Bill edged you. Just
Shelly, when the show's over, can I see you in my office?
Yes. Right.
And close the door. Get the door, Shelly.
Mike, 7.8, and I don't have to judge myself. So... That is the Limerick Wars. We're going to take ourselves a little break. David Spade is going to be calling in, then news, then sports, all that coming up. Bob Saget, Dave Coulier's package on the show. Bo Bice from American Idol, and much, much more after this.
It's time now for free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
Dear James Tony, after 23 years of what I thought was a happy marriage, I came home and caught my husband, Wes, in bed having sex with my brother. It was a shock, to say the least. That evening, they had gone to a bar and drank heavily. Someone gave them a pill of unknown origin. Wes says he doesn't remember anything until I walked in and started slapping some sense into him. We have stayed together. We haven't made love, however. I can't seem to get the picture out of my head. I feel like my life has been shattered. I love Wes and want us to have a productive life. How can I forget? Shattered in South Carolina.
Dear Shattered, one thing is certain, you won't be able to forget until you get the whole truth about what happened that night. I find it highly questionable that both your husband and your brother would have set the magic pill from a stranger that suddenly ran into presumably straight men bisexual. This question should be asking you. You should be asking, is it how you forget by how long their affair has been going on? You need honest answers. You also need to understand that you are not alone with this problem.
Free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
You know, the thing I like about James Tony is he's willing to cut through the fog. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Other folks give you a little double talk, a little nonsense, a little psychobabble. He goes straight to the point.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And when you're
just
done,
how he does it in the ring.
Yes, yeah. With an economy of words, he gets right to it.
Right. He's a heavy hitter in the ring and in the relationship advice.
I think in both forums, he lets his fists do his talking. Shelly, that didn't make sense.
Shelly, the cue card.
Shelly, the cue card girl.
Not on her game so far this
week. No. She, I think she's had a very bad March. It's not just in general, but I don't think this has been a good month. It's not been a good day for her.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's been some highlights. I think she did a good job with Tommy Chong in here. She did a nice job and was complimented for the questions she'd worked up for me and you for when we interviewed the mayor of Calabasas. But other than that, it's been a very tough month.
Ooh, it is uncomfortable in here. Shelly looks devastated.
All right, cue card girl. Let's see if you can bounce back with this spade interview.
Show's still early?
Yeah.
You can do it, Shelly, the cue card girl.
Oh, no spade. All right. Oh, it says no spade. I saw line one lighting up. I thought spade was on the phone. Well, in that case, we'll just move forward with the news. Claudia DeFalco filling in for Rachel Perry. And it is time for her news.
In Baghdad, gunmen dressed as Iraqi police killed 9 people in a store. This is the latest in a series of attacks targeting businesses in the capital.
Let me say this. Don't Iraqi police just wear flip-flops and sweatpants? I mean, isn't everyone who's dressed as... Are we all dressed as Iraqi policemen right now? Anyone who's wearing jeans? Anyone in Dockers and a wife beater? They have no uniform, so we're all dressed as Iraqi police. That's part of the problem.
In entertainment news, Jessica Simpson may have filed for divorce last December, but now the 25-year-old singer says she wants to adopt a baby. So much for being young, free, and glamorous. Here she is talking to Extra.
I know that I will adopt. I want to adopt before I actually have my own kids.
Yeah. Adopting hot mama Sharon Stone is shopping around her new flick, Basic Instinct 2.
Let me say this. Let me get back to Jessica for a second. I'm all for adoption with the hot chicks.
Mm-hmm.
Because I look at that vagina as sacred, and I don't want it all thrown out of whack. You know what I mean?
Especially Jessica's.
Especially Jessica's.
Not to mention the tussis. Yeah. What happened to that?
Yeah, the tuck eye grows as well.
And don't they have operations for that nowadays?
I think they have things that they can do, but let's not chance it. Let's just go pick up the little Laotian kid, bring him back, give him a crazy effed up name, give him a mohawk, and raise him as your own.
I've heard, I hate to say this, Ace, with Lynette, your wife, about to have twins, but from what I've heard from the fellas, the married guys, that vagina gets all out of whack.
Yeah.
After the baby comes out. I hear it's just unrecognizable, ruined.
No, you know what it's like? It's like... you ever see guys throwing pizza and it goes bad every once in a while? Head goes through it.
Is that right?
They got to peel it off the toaster. Ugh. It just, no. Now, we won't be using that input after the kids.
Well, you know what? Good news for you guys. Sharon Stone.
It's in the prenup.
Stone has also adopted, sir. Her vagina is not out of whack.
It's great.
FYI.
Here's the thing. Now we're just going to get a crazy kid who's not hot. You know what I mean? The only thing she's got going is her jeans. Her brain is mush, but her boobs are fantastic. Now she's going to raise a kid as her own. They're going to get all the nurture, none of the nature. And that's the only thing she has going for.
Well, now you're really proving hard to please. Because on one hand, you don't want the hot ones making the babies, but if they adopt, then you're disappointed by that.
It's a good point. Very good point. I just like the fact that Sharon Stone got as a gift for her ex-husband a visit to the Los Angeles Zoo where he could visit... a Komodo dragon, and the dragon bit his toes off.
I remember that.
No, I mean...
I think it was planned.
I know. It was a hit. Yes. Yes.
He's probably worth more dead than alive.
Probably to her, yeah.
Adopting hot mama Sharon Stone is shopping around her new flick, Basic Instinct 2. Mm. Last night she told Access Hollywood how gracious Michael Douglas was to her the first time around.
He was wonderful to me when we made that movie, and he took great care of me during those scenes, which I was...
Peters.
Wow.
Sorry. Can I say that on the air?
I guess not.
I guess I'll find out later in a meeting. His theater's this Friday. Last night on American Idol, Paula noticed a scar on Ace's chest, and without missing a beat, purred, "You'll have to explain to me how you got that someday." Now, considering that there's an ex-contestant with a book... who claims to have hooked up with Abdul, you can just imagine why Randy and Simon jumped in to cool things off.
I'm sure, yeah.
Here's Simon talking to Access Hollywood about Paula's usual ways.
She's always been this way. You know? I mean, Paula's kind of a bit erratic, but that's the way Paula is.
Right.
In stripper news, a guy from England Way took a picture of a stripper with his girlfriend's cell phone. What does she do? Of course, she stabs him, bites his nose off, and gets arrested for causing bodily harm.
Wow. Definitely not a Jew. Yeah. That could be an ID, though. Could be one of your paisans that did that.
Oh, he'd do more than bite someone's nose off.
Well, she would, yeah.
I'm Clyde DeFalco, and I'm done.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
NBA, the mighty Clippers closing in on their first playoff spot in 57 years. Went down last night, though, to the best team in the West, San Antonio. No matter, they're still going to the postseason. Phoenix Suns, meantime, got creamed by the very mediocre Milwaukee Bucks. No wonder their spirits were low after finding out Amari Stoudemire, a dynamite power forward who just came back from knee surgery, may be out the rest of the season because that knee trouble won't go away. Hockey. San Jose Sharks continue to scratch and claw for the last playoff spot in the West, but they lost last night in Columbus, and even the best name in pro sports, Jonathan Chichu, couldn't help them out. Of course, Chichu was a slow learner. He was with us last week. I had him try to Chichu it up. Here's how it went.
Chichu.
I didn't care for that, but then he came around. Here we go.
Chichu.
Yes. Home run, Chichu.
Nice job, yeah.
Now, how about a little NFL? I got a taste talking about it yesterday, talking about the 2006 regular season schedule. By the way, you know they have three games, not just two, three games on Thanksgiving now.
Really?
Just a little something just to keep you excited, not just for the turkey and gravy.
Wow. You know, the best part about them doing that is you not having to establish eye contact with your family.
That's right.
Hey, how you doing, Dad? Good, good. Sweetie, you're blocking the set. How's it, colon cancer in remission? No. Oh, all right. Well, at halftime, you know, we'll talk.
Yeah, I always resent having to miss a half of one of the two football games to go eat the food and sit and actually
You got to have a TV in the room.
Yeah, oh, that's a good call.
Yeah, you got to get the TV. I'm looking at having a TV put in the turkey next year. Small 9-inch flat screen.
Cleverly done, Shelly the cue card girl. Yeah, good for you.
That's a good one.
Now, the best name commissioner in pro sports, Paul Tagliabue.
Tagliabue.
He's on his way out, which is sad. But Tagliabue says he wants a team here in L.A. How often does this come up already? The NFL wants a team in L.A. Latest talk is they want to fix up the Coliseum so the NFL can come out here. Meantime, the people in Arizona are complaining they want an NFL team there, too.
Well, here's the thing.
Rimshot. They already have the card.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Savvy?
I'd move on.
Shelly, C-minus, you know. If I have to explain the joke, I'm looking at you.
Here's the thing. First off, the Coliseum is one of the oldest and, richest in history in terms of arenas in the United States, maybe the world for that matter. I mean, they had the Olympics there. I guess it was built for the Olympics and Olympics there
like
twice.
30s or something.
20,
yeah,
no,
something
I think like it may have been 20-something with the Olympics. 32, says phone screener Brian. Point is they put $50 million into renovating the place 10 years ago. That's not good enough to play football. What do you need to play football? And as we were talking about off the air, they play football very successfully at the Rose Bowl, which is older and just a big concrete block that 100,000 people can rest their ass at, and it seems to work out just fine.
What's cool venues, too, that you have to choose from between the Rose Bowl and the Coliseum. What a shame.
All right. And we need a, you know what Kimmel's theory is, and I think it's a good one, which is they perpetually keep L.A. without a football team so other teams can threaten to move at any given time if their city doesn't step up.
Right.
So, if you don't build us a new stadium, we'll move to L.A. As long as that slot is open, you constantly have that threat, and you hang it over, you lord it over your city, whatever city you're in, whatever city your franchise is in.
Yes? It's an interesting notion, yeah, that probably has some validity, but I'll say
this. How about a soccer team? Do we have a soccer
team? Sure, we do.
But we got more Mexicans than Mexico. Why don't we, why isn't it bigger?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think there are two professional soccer teams here in L.A.
Yeah. And listen, the Galaxy. Mexicans don't know what a Galaxy
and
is.
And the other one is called, like, the Chivas Regal or something
like
that.
Yeah, let's call ourselves the Churros.
Yes.
Or the Burros. Or, you know, the Nappers.
Not a bad call.
Something. I'm not trying to be offensive, but Galaxy is not going to capture the imagination of the Mexicans.
Yes. Right now, though, Southern California's attention is on the Final Four that's coming up. You know, we got LSU, Florida, George Mason, and of course, UCLA, the venerable UCLA, the most storied team in college basketball. And I got, of course, I thought it was a good idea to get the Wizard of Westwood. Sit down with him and see how excited he is about all this.
Mr. Personality. The aptly named John Wooden.
Well, he's very old. I think that's sort of the thing. I mean, he's a very, very old man.
All right, well, let's hear
it. I mean, he still is on cloud nine about this.
What a thrill. Thanks for joining me, Coach.
Let me tell you, Walton, you'll never be our Cinder.
Fair enough, Coach. So, how excited are you? You must be thrilled about UCLA being back in the Final Four.
I poop myself.
Wow, that's pretty excited.
No. I poop my pants.
Huh. Well, how about the other game?
George Maybe Frank
Mason
had a point.
LSU. Who do you got there?
Villanova.
Sorry, Coach. I don't think Villanova's an option there.
I poop myself.
Wow. So...
Yeah.
And it wasn't all there, maybe, but he still seems excited.
9 o'clock hour, Claudia DeFalco sitting in for Dave in sports, too. We'll be doing news and sports, all right?
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
He pooped himself.
The comedic genius, the rangy one, Bob Saget, I see, pacing the halls like a caged tiger. He's going to come in here in a moment and prove just how filthy he is. That's what I love about the new Bob Saget. So Bob will be in. Also, Dave Coulier's package, I think, is no love lost between these two great warriors, Bob Saget and Coulier's package. As Coulier says it, and to hear Bob tell it as well, Coulier and Saget were thick as thieves on the set of Full House. It's Coulier's package they had the problem with.
Yeah, I mean, the whole E! True Hollywood story was devoted to that rivalry on the set.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or as he calls them, the second Olsen twins. Shelley, that wasn't great. We'll take a quick break. Saget coming in, Coulier's package calling in, all that after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yes, you is. All right, little update. David Spade, a little confusion with the publicist. He is going to be on the show tomorrow. Bob Saget, as promised, in studio. Good to see you, Bob.
Thank you. Thank you. Publicist didn't screw up for me.
No. Well, you're salt of the earth, Bob. We appreciate you coming in.
Thank you. I'm a spice.
Bob is, wow, so much to say about Bob Saget. First off, I'm a Full House fan, as people know, and I'm not just paying lip service to Bob Saget.
Which I could use right now, by the way. I've been lonely.
All right, Claudia, pay lip service to Bob Saget, please. It's right
now?
In the contract.
She's busy, though. She's
can
working.
Can I finish my coffee first?
All right. Unless Bob's allergic to coffee.
No, not down there.
Oh, okay. You don't drink it yourself, but you will use your penis like a straw.
Like a dipstick of some kind. See if she's low on oil.
Bob's a cord
trying
low.
To help the kids.
I also enjoyed America's Funniest Home Videos. Now,
wait a second.
And I still do.
But you're like a brainy guy. So that's what it is. It's the idea of people getting hit in the nutsack that kind of just relieves that pressure of the week.
I got to tell you, when you would do those montages to class music to cats
I didn't
falling
do
off of bird cages. Well, the point is your ilk,
right.
your posse, your folks.
Yeah.
It's a lot. You know, my wife and I watch it. She thinks I'm an intellectual lightweight as well. I always laugh. Well, who married the idiot? Now who's the joke on?
Right.
You know what I mean? Every time she calls me an idiot, I'm always like, who married the idiot?
Show. That show can ruin a marriage.
I said, but here's the thing: you watch a sitcom,
right?
How many out loud laughs do you have? And maybe this isn't the only way to tally this thing, and maybe it's not the only yardstick to measure comedy, but when you watch an average sitcom, how many out loud laughs do you have in that half hour?
Right, right. Small Wonder aside or Saved by the Bell.
That's right, that's right.
Those are top of the
right.
The
but
bar.
Your average sitcom, half a chuckle per half hour. Watching America's Funniest Videos, I would laugh out loud three or four times. Now, it was a guy getting the wiffle bat in the sack.
Right.
But I'm laughing.
It's a sure thing to win money, too. You can win $5,000 a nut. That's how the right. grand prize money would go.
Bob is going to be at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel. You guys playing the Grand Trinon room over there?
Is that what that would be? The main ballroom. Not I know that we're staying on the same theme.
The main ballroom over there is called the Grand Trinon. How do I know? Not because I've went to any functions there, but I used to clean the carpet. And that was always...
really true?
Yes.
You were not a carpet cleaner at the Beverly Wilshire
I was
Hotel.
A carpet cleaner, which is not a euphemism for gigolo. I was not hanging out in the lobby trying to pick up older ladies. I pulled up in a van, and that was... We had an account with the Beverly Wilshire, and we never knew before we got there whether we were cleaning the little coffee shop, which was 900 square feet.
That was the Velvet Turtle or something.
The Velvet Turtle.
Right.
And our boss convinced us, by the way, they had security cameras so we wouldn't eat the pastry.
Again, the Velvet Turtle sounds like something that would be a metaphor for, for a ball washing service.
Until you've experienced the Velvet Turtle with the guy who cleans the carpets, you haven't lived.
Right.
Now give him the key to your suite and let him pull out his wand.
And you did a water vac kind of situation?
Yeah. I had the wand. Sure. Wow. And it's great when
Did you do the carpet front to back? Because you got to be careful not to go back to front on that.
You got it. Yeah. Because
you can infect the carpet.
That's what I'm saying.
What I'm talking about.
Yeah. They could get a urinary tract infection.
Right. In the urethra of the carpet.
Yeah. That's right.
Right. So,
Now
let's go to charity.
Here's how it works. Let me just
segue
to Grand Trinon Ballroom is essentially 3 or 4 football fields worth of paisley colored carpet, including the entryway. And the wand that you use to clean it is approximately 7¾ inches from right to left.
It's a gigantic entryway for the size of your wand.
It's a
giant.
Yes. My wand is like a magician's wand going into a top hat.
Right. So you've got to keep that carpet sudsed.
Yeah,
all times.
And I always finish with a Teflon treatment. How I finish.
Now, what do you do? You throw that down at the end after you've water vacuumed?
It always comes at the end, yeah.
See, that's
I almost
what I'm thinking.
Have no choice.
Wow.
Sometimes sooner than later, depending on, how long it's been since I've taken the Teflon out of the Hudson Sprayer.
Was that a Woody Allen impression? It almost... Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that there's no grass on the field play ball? Is that...
No. Unless
I could sure quiet a room down,
unless the sod has been professionally removed.
Right. So sod, I'm not going to even...
I'm saying if the grass is removed from the field because it's been rolled off the field by a professional, then play ball.
I see.
If it never grew, then you got to sit back and wait for spring.
See, I've never actually seen sod rolled.
Oh, yeah. They roll sod.
I've seen them rake the field.
They roll it on and they can roll it off.
So it's kind of like a Karate Kid field.
It's like deodorant.
It is.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
Charity. I've got a big benefit coming up.
That's
There's
right.
There's no way to segue.
That's right.
Shampoo sack rug.
The Grand Trinon, everybody. Look down and think of me. April 6th at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel right there in Beverly Hills on Wilshire, right really across the street from William Morris.
It's an interesting trio, too. What a
Goldberg, Ray Romano.
Well, this is, I'll get serious for a second and kind of sad. I lost a sister 10 years ago to this disease called scleroderma.
Mm-hmm.
Before then, I started getting involved in this charity, the Scleroderma Research Foundation. And we've been doing benefits, and Robin Williams was the first one to do it. And every last time we did it in that room, the Grand Trinon, it was Robin and Tim Allen and Lovitz and Goo Goo Dolls. So this time, I'm lucky enough, Whoopi Goldberg and Ray Romano are going to do it with myself. And we have an orchestra, the Dick Bright Orchestra from San Fran. And some other special guests are going to be coming in. Stamos is going to actually, it's not much of a special guest if I'm telling you that he's going to be there, but he's going to do the auction with me. And we're going to
He's a
full
special
house
surprise
him.
Guest.
He's a total surprise on the radio.
Yeah. Dick Bright was my carpet cleaning name, by the way.
Well, you got to keep it bright.
Yeah, they have them for porn, and our boss insisted we needed our carpet cleaning name.
That is a porn name, Dick Bright.
Yeah. You want to go to the Velvet Turtle with Dick Bright and have him give you a little Polycon solution?
He's married to, Dull Muff, which is her singing name. But I should just finish up the charity.
I'm sorry.
No,
I'm
don't
sorry.
Be. You did the right
I'm
thing,
sorry.
By the way. No,
I'm
you're
sorry.
Doing totally the right thing.
I'm
People
sorry.
Are driving
no,
going, scleroderma, I want to eat my McMuffin. What the hell is this?
McMuffin was also my point. How does...
So it's we're raising
McMuffin.
Money.
Okay.
And
I'm
it's
sorry.
An expensive ticket. But
yes.
It's, you know, it's,
well, I mean, Whoopi Goldberg, Ray Romano, yourself. So if people, super secret surprise guest, Stamos, coming in.
Dave can't come. He's got some
Dick Muff
testicle maintenance
at the orchestra.
To do.
I mean, come on.
Dick Muff in the orchestra.
But and that's an all-star lineup.
But I'll just give the thing so we can move on to testicle humor, which is, it's, because to me, that's all that really matters.
I think we'd be going back to testicle humor, by the way. I don't know if we're moving on.
They've never left the building.
Yeah.
It's, the number is 800-441-CURE. That's the 800-441-CURE. And I won't spell it, but it's scleroderma research.org on the web. And we're on there, and it tells about what we're doing. There's a lot of people, like 300,000 people affected by this
disease.
Well,
how you lost your sister to this 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Were there other family members you've lost? I somehow thought there's some more tragedy.
Yeah,
in
we've
your
had
life.
A lot. There's a reason I'm a dented can.
Yes.
I've got another sister that had an aneurysm. I haven't gotten around to a benefit for her yet.
And, did she passed away?
Yes, she did.
Wow.
Yeah, it's our family's a laugh riot.
I seem to recall whenever I think of you, I thought, well, it's not just the one sister. There's and now is that it or
no,
is it just
no? There's more.
What? Tell us.
My whole family was on the beach in Normandy.
Wow.
My entire family. They were singing and charging, and they all got wiped out.
Wow.
No, but my dad lost four brothers to heart attacks.
Four brothers?
Yeah, it's hilarious. You see, I have to start laughing. That's all we did. Name a disease.
Wow.
We should, pardon me, we should just do like
sickle
one.
Sickle cell.
It's hilarious.
I think I've stumped
aunt.
You.
My aunt Flappy.
Wow, Flappy. One from sickle cell.
Flappy Saget. And,
wow. Black
was,
sheep.
Well, that's what you do, but you know, it just doesn't stop. We didn't have a sickle cell, but the other ones. I'm
all
trying
right.
to think of other diseases. Everything
well,
else.
How does scleroderma work?
It's a horrible thing. Some people think it's autoimmune. Others say it's vascular. I know. I have a friend who's the head doctor at Johns Hopkins, and he thinks it's more vascular. And it's your skin can harden, and it can go internal, and your fingertips can harden. It's horrific. And then you can live with it. Some people do pretty well with it, and other people it just goes to their internal organs, like my sister, and you lose your life.
So this is again April 6th. Whoopi Goldberg, Ray Romano, and these aren't people who are over at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach every other weekend either. They don't get out and do tons of stand up anymore.
Well, that's interesting. No, and Whoopi's a doll. She just did a cameo for me in this Penguin thing I'm doing. And Ray Romano lost a dear friend named Lucian Hold, who used to run the comic strip in New York.
Mm.
So he was a real comedy staple. All the comics loved him, and he died of scleroderma last year. So Ray was already in on the program and wanted to do something to help as quickly as he could.
Grand Trinon.
That's Beverly the room Wilshire. I've never heard it named, been doing benefits there for 20 years.
I would go to the event, but I'm scared I'll have a Vietnam-type flashback when I look down and see the Paisley carpet.
We could
carpet.
Bring you in, and you know what we could do? Put one of those cones around you like a dog where it scratches.
Yeah, so I can't see my feet.
You can't see your feet or look down, and we'll have someone guide you. We'll get some young hot girl to bring you in with your wife.
Right, smart. Smart, yeah, because if I look down, it's going to be like one of those things where I hear helicopters in slow motion.
Theme from MASH.
Guys poking at me through a bamboo cage with carpet cleaning wands.
Mow, mow,
mow.
Mow. I love the mow.
Yeah.
Mow, mow.
Eric?
Hey, how you doing?
What's happening, Eric? You have a question for Bob?
Yeah, I do. Hey, Bob, you're a funny guy.
Oh, thank you, man.
I remember a long time ago, I used to watch your show, the Funny Home Videos, and you go, hey, you remember when bawling all night meant really crying your eyes out?
I know. I put porn stuff in there. Nobody got it.
I got it.
You're the one. You are Neo.
Wow.
Did you get in trouble?
Yeah, I did. I got in trouble for most. I would say stuff like, these next clips are going to spew right into your face. I'd say that on the air, and it's running in rerun. It was all porn talk.
Thank you.
That's a nice sound.
But, Bob, I mean, you were a bluish comedian.
Yeah,
you were
kind of a reform blue
for your ball jokes and blue and working, as they know, blue bald, they call them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets the gig, he gets the corporate gig, and he's making money hand over fist, but he can't go blue anymore.
I tried to sneak it in
where you could, right?
I tried to go fist over fist, but that's too graphic for the public.
Yeah, I understand ass over teapot, but what the hell's hand over fist mean?
That is, it's not right, and anybody that can handle that kind of But never mind.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
It's too much coming at you is what I'm saying.
Now you're back to your filthy roots, survival, right?
I am. I'm a dirty bastard.
With a vengeance, do you feel like there's a little, you're making up for lost time, those clean years?
Actually, one of my first jokes I ever wrote when I was 18 was, mm-hmm. I have the brain of a German Shepherd and the body of a 16-year-old boy, and they're both in my car, and I want you to see them. So that was about taking, you know, somebody and doing stuff to them. It was kind of a Dahmer-esque kind of Ted Bundy-ish kind of thing. I don't see what's so friendly about that.
Coolier's package is supposed to be calling into the show, but I don't see him here, Breska.
He's probably shaving.
We'll do it after the break.
Waxing.
Oh, okay.
He pulls it like taffy.
Bob Saget, who likes Dave Coulier.
Love him.
And got along with everyone on the set of Full House.
Very much.
Except for...
Who?
Coulier's package.
I did not enjoy his junk. It was annoying, and he would pull it out at will, and then pull it over the pin and say, look, a turtle.
Wow.
And I don't want, you know, I'm not made that way. I don't want to look at a guy's little turtle head.
No, I understand, but, you know, the thing is Coulier's package is not a huge fan of Saget either.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. I think there's a Metro thing going on that doesn't want to talk about.
Well, you can tell him to his face. Because
if I got a Sharpie pen, I could draw one on it.
Yes, because he's going to be on the phone in just a moment.
All right.
And we'll get into it. All right, Bob Saget in here. Coulier's package calling in. And we'll see if we can work it out after this.
Hi, this is Dave Coulier. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
And tell him Dave's package sent you.
Yeah. Package sounds a little like the old Pryor.
That's a real
70s Pryor.
It's a nice homage to Richard. It's really good.
It really is.
And you got Dave pre-recording.
Yeah.
Talking through his package.
Yeah, well, like I said, Dave, we have no problem with his package. I mean, we're fans of, but we didn't have to spend as much time as you did with Coulier's package all those seasons on the set of Full House.
I knew him when he was 17. And our mutual friend Mike Binder, who's a real funny, great director guy, from Detroit, said, Dave,
the package was 17?
Package was 18.
Oh,
package
was
a
year old,
17.
Oh, so the package, they're only a year apart.
When he was born, he was a package.
Uh-huh.
The package had a life, and then a year later, Dave sprung out of it like a stem cell.
Wow.
That's All what right. Dave is.
All right, so Coulier, see, it's funny, talking to Coulier's package, you think he's a seasoned guy, probably 10, 12 years older than Coulier, but they're only a year apart.
A year apart, but just escalated intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times they say that the little head thinks for the big head.
Right.
This is a confirmation of the little head accessories.
Mm-hmm.
Just much more advanced.
Well, his package is on the phone, and again, no love lost between Saget and Coulier's package. Again, thick as thieves with Coulier. Great guy, salt of the earth, but the package. Coulier's package?
Hey, good morning.
Good to talk to you again. Thanks for being part of the show.
Oh, thanks. Hey, did Bob mention I even stood up in his wedding? I think everybody knows what I'm talking about.
You were out in the parking lot with my ex-wife's cousin, if I recall.
That's right. Yoo-hoo!
Like a body bag.
What happened with you two? I mean, I know...
Well, three.
I mean, you three. I mean, my point is, you know, Bob Saget I've met a number of times. I find him delightful. And I like you as well. What could go wrong between the two of you? I would think you would hit it off.
Well, I'd like to be up front with Bob, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bob, I got kind of a boner to pick with you.
Yeah, right.
Okay?
I remember that time we went out for tea bags.
All right.
What?
He'll not be performing.
What, are you going to bleep me?
No. Wish we could,
well,
but technically
Bob,
we can't. Yes.
Here's the deal. I hear that you tell your stand-up.
Yeah?
Well, I don't know. I find it kind of funny that you work with twins, and so do I. See,
he's not quite as funny as Pryor was, but he sounds a lot like
it's hilarious. The thing is, I don't know.
See, the only difference is mine are named Harry, Kate, and Trashley.
Wow.
Well, and they aren't like the sweet, successful, beautiful, and talented twins that you work with. Mine are more like the Molson twins.
I see what you're doing. Wait a second. You're doing puns about other twins that I worked with your nutsack.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
You got to wake up pretty early to put one by you.
Yes.
Yeah, they're like the Molson twins, because after a few beers, mine can hang with anybody.
Right.
You see, Bob, I just think it's a little ugly. I'm sure Dave doesn't mind, but...
Balls, unless there's some kind of mole or something on
them. Yeah, but I'm the spokesman.
You're the spokesman for your balls?
Yeah, I'm the spokeshole.
Yeah. Here's, I guess what I'm trying to do here, because it's all for a good cause... And are you going to be attending, by the way? Are you going to be over at the Grand Trinon at the Beverly Wilshire?
I mean,
April 6th?
I can't be there because Dave's got something else going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool, yay, not going to be there. I guess what I'm trying to say is in the spirit of giving, perhaps you two, and it's been enough years. What's it been, 8, 9 years?
It was
how long?
I think it went off 10 years ago. The show
10 years
ran for 8 years. It was like Hanukkah. It never ended.
Well, for the sake of Dave, who's caught in the middle of this ugly feud. Dave Coulier stuck between his package and Bob Saget.
He is a victim. He's a victim.
Yes.
Yeah.
For his sake. Make peace.
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine being sandwiched between Bob Saget and Coulier's package? That's got to be a tough place to be.
It's
got to
be sticky.
Yeah.
So, do you want to make up Dave's package?
Yeah, I suppose, but... Where's your mouth, by the way?
Where is your mouth? What are you speaking out of?
Well, my mouth.
Come on now. You can do the mouth math, can you not?
Oh, you're saying, all right.
I don't know if Bob's ever seen me.
Well, I know he's felt you.
I've only felt you against the back of my neck, but the question I have is, can you put an Altoid in there or something?
Yeah.
Well, Bob, I happen to have a little dirt on you, too, you know.
Yeah. Mm.
Why don't you tell the audience what you used to do when we were taping Full House? You know, when you used to come into Dave's dressing room.
What about that?
Well, no, that was one time. That was a joke. That was supposed to be a joke.
What happened?
But I don't tell audiences about it.
I don't. Well, you have to if you have to. But I'd like
to hear it from you, Bob.
I was disgruntled. I was having one of my little hissy fits because I was a fool.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wanted to defile my own 8x10.
Mm-hmm.
It was my Full House 8x10.
Mm-hmm.
So I pretended that I was using it as toilet paper, as a joke.
Right.
There was nothing. There was no dirtage. There was no uncleanage because
right.
I'm very clean out and I'm known for that.
Right. Sure.
That's my trademark.
Now I've heard.
So that was it. I went into Dave's dressing room and said, this is what I think of my work.
Did you drop your pants?
No, I just kind of did a quick peel and eat shrimp kind of thing. It was kind of a quick scrape, like you're running it down to the lab. But I was young and impetuous. It was years ago.
Coulier's package, is that how you remember it?
Well, yeah, he used to wipe his butt with his own 8x10.
No, yeah. It's not that sounds like it's a thing I would do all the time.
And then he threw it in the garbage can.
Well, Dave took his underwear and had an accident of some kind because he couldn't help himself and slingshotted it up onto the top of the dressing room stage. And I believe when Friends took over that Full House stage, that underwear with the little pasty thing was still up there.
Wow.
I believe it stayed. No, I don't know what grip was going to go up there to get that down. It was stuck to the rafters.
Yeah, and by the way...
This is all good stuff, by the way.
Yeah.
Great stuff. There's no reaction in here. People are staring through their windshield right now.
Well, listen, we're riveted.
Yeah, it's coma.
Coulier's package?
Yeah.
I want to thank you for calling in and being part of the program. And I guess you guys have healed, or maybe this is one step toward mending just a little bit, you two?
Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
All right, because I know you guys might have a reunion show or something like that, and I just don't want any bad blood on the set.
There won't be any bad blood.
Oh, I love that.
But Dave's package?
Yeah.
Are you wearing a headset? How do you go about this?
I have to pull the phone down onto the table.
Yeah.
Because Dave's asleep.
Right.
Right.
All right. Yeah. Well, do me a favor, would you? Tell Dave to give me a call sometime, and we'll discuss this.
Okay, but there's one other thing. A lot of my friends got hit on your show, America's Funniest Home Videos. And
a lot of your family members?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's got to be rough.
They're not happy about that.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'd like to apologize to all of them out there.
I love Bobby. Hey, everybody, I've been to the Scleroderma Benefit. Go. It's a good cause.
This is nice. Validated by Dave's junk. Please go to it.
Yeah.
I've been there. I heard the show. It's great.
Yeah, it's a good night. I'm glad you validated it. That's great.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg's going to be there. Ray Romano. Maybe you can hang out with Whoopi Goldberg's junk.
I'd like to.
That'd be a nice combo.
She's that would be next to nuts.
You guys, oh, God. Out on the town, Dave, paparazzi snapping pictures off as you guys leave the Ivy.
Oh, yeah.
Dave's junk. Do you know the Dave's package? Do you know the 800 number?
Why don't you say it, Bob?
800-441-CURE. That's 800-441-CURE. For tickets, April 6th, Whoopi Goldberg, Ray Romano, Bob Saget, super secret surprise guest,
i.e. John Stamos.
John Stamos is going to be there.
And his package.
Dick Nibbler and his orchestra are playing.
Yes.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, Richard Hertz.
That's right. All
Michael Hunt.
All going to be there. Bob Saget, thank you very much. Dave's package.
Thank you.
Coulier's package. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks. I love y'all.
Tell Dave I'll give him a buzz. You know, we're thick as thieves now, me and Coulier. So,
then you're not that thick because he keeps it all clean.
You're going to have to compete with us. I want to thank Bob Saget for coming in. Nice job, Bob.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
We'll talk to you soon. And when the Penguin movie comes out, call us.
I will. Call us then.
Call us then.
Don't call us till then.
We'll be back. Bo Bice still coming in, and we'll do that after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. American Idol's Bo Bice coming up. I saw every American Idol last year and big fan of Bo Bice, so I'll be looking forward to talking to him. Now, we have a breaking story. This is Ruth Cicero. She has a cat named Lewis, and she's from Fairfield, Connecticut. The cat has been terrorizing the neighborhood. It's attacked six people, put them into the hospital, and the animal control officer ordered the cat on Prozac. Now, the cat, Lewis the cat, and by the way, just name, you don't have to put the behind whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're married to a guy named Lewis, and then there's Lewis the cat, but you know what I'm saying. Recently, Lewis the cat committed another attack, which caused Ruth to be arrested and charged with reckless endangerment. There's a lawsuit against her by an Avon lady. Do they still have Avon ladies? I didn't know that.
Like I wasn't aware until I looked at this card with this lady's information.
Yeah. Is the Fuller Brush Man still making the rounds? The guy who knocks on your door, walks in and throws a handful of dirt on your entry floor carpet and then says, no problem. Pulls a vacuum cleaner out of the trunk of the Impala. Janet?
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. This is Janet, the neighbor.
This is Janet, the one that got attacked twice.
By the cat. All right, hold on a second. We'll hear your side of the story first. We'll talk to Ruth. Ruth?
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Thank you for coming on the program.
You're welcome.
You're the owner of Lewis the Cat.
Yes, I am.
Now, the cat's been terrorizing the neighborhood.
So it's quoted.
So it's quoted, but you disagree with that?
Let's put it this way. Unfortunately, he has scratched three people.
All right. I have six people on my card, but people have gone to the hospital?
Yes, like the emergency room.
Mm-hmm. And one victim was the Avon lady now suing you?
Correct.
Wow. So at a certain point, what's it worth to you? I mean, if you're being sued by the neighbors and the Avon lady, how about you get rid of Lewis the cat?
Lewis is a beloved pet, and Louis has also been tormented by people who are not happy about him.
Oh.
And he is restrained to the house forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see the point.
Mm-hmm. Is he taking the Prozac?
No, he was not put on Prozac by the animal control. That was a suggestion of my vets in order to see if it would change any of his temperament. Obviously, if he scratched someone, he's agitated, but we kept him on it for 60 days, and it didn't do any good.
Oh, yeah. I put my dog on Prozac for a while, but there were sexual side effects that didn't work out well with us. The dog could no longer hump the sofa pillow.
Well, Louie's neutered, so...
Yeah, so is my dog Molly, but it didn't stop her from humping the sofa pillow, and the Prozac just took all the starch out of her sheets. Yeah, I didn't agree with that. So you actually gave Louis for 60 days and did nothing?
No, actually, they figured out, like some people, it had a more negative reaction than positive because in the house he was agitated, but it was, which he normally isn't, but it was hard to tell because he was also being locked in. And for an animal that's used to being out,
yeah,
and understand, it's hard to tell the difference.
Well, you know, they talk, you know, it just came to mind. They're always trying to get there and talk about these getting animals. It's a bigger and bigger trend these days, getting these animals on these pharmaceutical drugs. But how about getting them on the weed? You know what I mean? I mean, I'm sure this whole problem would go away if you just put a little bud in with the giblets.
I think I got enough legal issues on my plate right now.
Well, I'll bet you could be a candidate for miracle feline marijuana. MFM. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be with Bill Maher trying to raise some money for you guys at the Playboy Mansion on Thursday. I'm just saying, you know, if this cat ate a little weed every morning, the cat would just be napping. Avon Lady step right over the cat. You know?
Unfortunately.
No.
I don't think that's my answer.
All right. So what is your answer? What are you going to do?
Well, he's contained to the house, and I don't see that there's any more I can do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a lifelong restraining order, so to move doesn't solve the issue. And there's
Is he sad?
Is he depressed because he's a shut-in now?
Well, let me ask you, how would you feel if you couldn't go out anymore?
Well, Dave would love it because he would just watch TiVo not answer the phone and masturbate.
No beef with that at all.
Yeah. We all wish we were home right now, chasing a ball of yarn.
But not Lewis. He's got wanderlust, this cat.
Yeah. And by the way, I think you could move. I bet if you and Lewis the cat moved to, let's say, Mexico, he could probably go outside being arrested.
Hey, Ruth.
You have to leave the country.
Ruth?
Yes?
Did you try olive oil?
I don't understand. I'm so sorry.
Claudia is Italian, and she believes that olive oil can cure anything. She actually has it in her car.
Psoriasis, anything.
That's right. What else?
Unfortunately, yeah. No, I haven't.
All right. Now we have your neighbor, Janet, on the phone. How are you guys getting along?
Janet's a lovely woman.
Uh-oh. That didn't sound sincere. Yeah. You guys okay? Janet?
Ruth and I have gotten along just fine.
You guys sound foxy, by the way.
No, not foxy.
How old are you two little minxes? Maybe I'll get out that way.
Well, I'm 76, but I'm a young 76.
You know what? My ceiling is 77, so you just made the cut. But I got to get out there before your birthday. The day before, I'll bring you a present.
Well, you know, I was surprised because, you know, Ruth and I and Animal Control had worked out a schedule where Lou could go out from 11 to 1, and he could go out from 9:30 to 5:30 in the morning, and it was working fairly well.
This is why
I didn't have any idea that Ruth had trouble getting Prozac down his throat, you know, which can be a problem.
This is why men die 10 years earlier. It's not a physical problem. We're just so goddamn bored. We just want to go. When it comes time to corralling the neighbor's cats, time to head into the earth.
Well, no, Janet,
I really empathize with Ruth because I'm an animal lover,
Janet,
and I would hate. You know,
is your husband around?
My husband is in heaven. He's probably looking down on the whole damn thing.
Right, or looking up. But the point is, he decided to go before this nonsense started. There's no man around. If a guy would not stand for this. I'm going out and visiting Louis. The hell you are! Get in the goddamn kitchen. I'm going drinking. Yeah, this is what happened when women get left alone. And they're past their sexual prime. The guys aren't knocking anymore. There's no more dating going on. They just sit around and discuss cats.
I beg to differ with you.
Oh, really?
Yes, I do.
What's going on?
Nothing.
Yeah, that's my point.
How vicious can the attacks of Lewis the cat be, though?
Is the cat fixed?
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
What does he do? What does this cat do to people? How bad could it be?
Well, it's pretty bad because you don't see it coming. He usually attacks from the back,
sure.
And he wraps around your leg, and he bites and scratches. So you're being injured in a couple of seconds.
Right.
You know, and it's a sudden thing. You don't see it coming. So
How about having him? Now, I know, Ruth, you're a big cat lover, but how about having Lewis declawed?
I would not let a declawed cat out because, quite frankly, in Connecticut,
yeah,
against the law, he would be totally defenseless, and we have.
Grizzly coming down the street and Kodiak bears and mountain lions?
We have coyotes.
All right, but you let him out during the daytime. He makes a little number two on the neighbor's lawn and then he heads back into the house.
That's not Lewis.
Oh, I understand.
Lewis is a cat's cat. He's an outdoor kitty.
I understand.
Does Lewis drive a car?
Wolf. Yeah.
Does Lewis have a driver's license?
I'm going to take that as a no.
It's a delight.
I like the idea that Lewis is sort of the lone wolf rambling cat.
You know what I mean? How about St. John's wort?
Yeah, how about it?
Do you think it would calm him down?
Unfortunately, as I told you, Janet, he's not like that in the house.
I know, because he loves you guys. He's in a familiar place.
Let me jump in for a second.
This is getting ugly.
Perhaps you guys could correspond through your kitchen windows.
No, we can't waste
our time. But, you just slide your window open and... Yeah,
we've kept close communication.
Well, let me just, I don't know either one of you.
I know, I don't know you either.
I would like to get to know you guys better.
Right, I would too.
Yeah. Obviously, not only does Lewis need to be let out of the house, but Janet needs to be taken out for a walk every once
Janet
in a while, too.
Janet is going up to Newburyport tomorrow.
Oh. You got a lucky guy over there?
No. I have a friend up there, and mm-hmm. I visit her. She's on the ocean, and it's wonderful.
All right. Life in the fast lane. That's where the husbands go.
But anyhow.
All right. Well, let me say this.
Yeah. What do you want?
Let me make this observation. Janet. You sound gregarious, fun-loving, almost drunk.
No.
and Ruth, you sound a little standoffish, a little uptight, and a little angry. Perhaps if you two spent a little more time together, a little more Janet would rub off on Ruth.
I think it's past that. I fear that at this point it's devolved into ultimately gunplay.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I mean, you guys are neighbors and friends, right?
Well, it's not only Ruth and I.
Mm-hmm.
It's right. Not Ruth and I.
This is a legal issue.
You'd have to call animal control.
All right.
You'd have to call
I think we should call? You know how they have horse whispers?
Yeah.
Is there a cat whisperer out there?
Yeah, the pee whisperer. The unfortunately named pee whisperer.
Who can talk to the cat?
My name in high school. Hey.
No, Ruth and I don't have any problem with Ruth. We've always communicated and cooperated. But unfortunately, Lewis got loose once, and that's when the damage was done.
All right. So, well, listen, I'm trying to arbitrate here, but if you don't want to you don't want to declaw Lewis, Ruth, you don't want to, there's nothing that works.
I had my cat declawed.
You know what?
You did.
Can't go out declawed or not. I don't think you're understanding.
All right.
It travels with him the rest of his life, and he can't go out.
It does.
Ruth, let me get philosophical here for just one second. How old a woman are you?
I'm 49.
49. Now, you seem more mature than that, but maybe this whole Lewis ordeal has aged you prematurely. You sound a little bit depressed, and maybe it's not just Lewis.
You'll have to forgive me, but... If you had been arrested and going through what I have, it wouldn't lighten your day either.
I understand, but here's what I'm saying, and I mean this with all due respect. The cat is a cat. You love Lewis, but at the end of the day, it's just a pet, and perhaps it's taking you down. Maybe Lewis isn't worth it. Maybe Lewis should be set free on some sort of kitty farm, and you should get on with your life. You're not even a woman of 50 yet.
Or in lieu of that, there's all that leftover Prozac that didn't work out for Lewis. Just take that.
Take that. Right. Are you married, Ruth?
I live with my boyfriend.
Oh, really? Lucky man. Where's he right now?
Lewis.
At work.
Lewis isn't the boyfriend, though.
I understand.
You'll have to forgive me, but I have to go.
I'm sorry.
Inside Edition is coming.
Oh, I understand. Okay. I thought you were breaking up. We don't want to miss Maury Povich in that golf club swing sound. All right. Good luck.
Thank you much.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right.
Hey, Janet.
Yeah.
I like the cut of your jib, baby.
I like the cut of your jib, too.
Yeah.
You're straight and to the point.
I got
to
be honest with you.
Yes.
I never thought I could be attracted to a 76-year-old woman from Connecticut who killed
I'm
her husband.
Young 76. Let me put it that way.
I like when you go into that Oprah deep tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's my vocal cords. They've aged.
Well, here's the thing. You're out in Connecticut. I'm out in Los Angeles. We're just a 6.5-hour plane flight away from each other.
Exactly.
Yeah. I get 3-day weekends. Maybe we can hang a little bit.
How old are you?
Well, I'm 41.
Oh,
but,
you're too old.
I say love. Oh, once a younger man. I like that laugh. Love doesn't ask to see your ID, you know? You're either attracted or you're not.
Oh, yeah.
You come on down. Bring your declawed cat. We'll have a party.
Well, my cat has done fine since when we declawed him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's lived a great life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no problem. And what cat do you have there, or is it a recording?
That's a tabby.
That's a tabby.
Named Sugar Love. I only declawed one claw.
Yeah, well, you know, Ruth is a nice lady. Mm-hmm. I respect her, but...
She clearly sounded like a delight. Yeah, she was delightful.
You know, I was attacked twice, and it cost the walk-in.
All right.
Antibiotics.
I understand.
You know, come on.
No, my grandmother was killed by a neighbor's cat, so I know it. I know what it's like.
It's
all
only
right.
a matter of time before Janet.
No, I'm not.
Janet takes the law into her own hands and kills.
She was taken down by 23-pound calico. It's true. Oh, did I hang up on her? Oh, crap. All right. I hung up on her by mistake. Call her back. Apologize. Don't put her on the air. But keep her number. I'd like to correspond with this one. I like her.
Yeah.
She's zesty.
We're gonna get a weekly report on the neighborhood.
Yeah. Something tells me she just may show up.
It would be nice. Bringing that declawed cat. All right. We're going to take a little break. When we come back... We're going to play a special primetime edition of What Can't Adam Complain About? You call in, you give me a topic, doesn't matter what it is, and I will figure out a way to complain about it, good, bad, or indifferent. Bo Bice also coming in after that. All right, so What Can't Adam Complain About? Bo Bice, news, sports, all coming up after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah, Bo Bice has entered the facilities. We'll bring him on in a couple of few. First, a game we stumbled on to. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. One more thing for me to complain about. Just warming up. What can Adam complain about? Phone screener Brian, I think, came up with this one. It turns out I can complain about anything.
Not just complain. You're the king of complaining.
Yeah.
If there were gold medals handed out for complaining, you would be the perennial champion.
Thank you. Covered
in gold.
Now, anyone can complain about long lines at the service station or you know, having to wait for their taxes or the cost of gasoline or something like that. But I can complain about positive things.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what... That's what distinguishes me from the rank amateurs.
Some of your past targets have been puppies...
Yeah.
Dolphins, pizza, boobs.
Yeah. Whatever you can come up with, I can complain about it. Just test me. And it all started when, over a long weekend, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, when I bought a Ferrari over eBay. And I should explain, not an expensive Ferrari. It was $33,000, cheap by Ferrari standards. They said they were dropping it off. It was coming from Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia. They said it was coming on a Friday. It showed up on Monday. And all I did was complain the entire weekend that the Ferrari had not gotten here yet. And it made me realize not only was I a world-class a-hole, and that I'd have arrived, by the way, because I was complaining about my Ferrari, ironically, not arriving, but that I could, in fact, complain about anything. So I don't know what the topics are. You call up, we'll punch you up, and we'll start the complaining.
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
Chris, what's your topic?
Koala bears.
Koala bears. First off, they're standoffish. It's like they're hot chicks, but they're covered with fur. And they're on quaaludes. You never see them pounce. They don't move. They just sit up there and eat like eucalyptus leaves and cast judgment upon the little people that are coming to see them. Also, it's one of those things, too, where Australia has claimed them, and they're from Australia, and they're synonymous with Australia. I don't like it. They're cute. They suck. They sit up in a tree. They give me the stink eye. I say, enough with koala bears. How say you? Thank you. No, that's enough out of you. Matthew.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Hot pregnant chicks.
I'll tell you what. My wife's pregnant. I want to watch myself here. She may be up by now and listening. My point is I don't like the term baby bump. I see it on the news, you know, all the entertainment show. Jayla's at her baby bump. Everyone's got their baby bump. It's weird. And if they have a baby bump, then I would like a masculine lump. That's the point. Where's our lump? You guys have your bump. What about Coolier's lump? That's it. Also, it's really disgusting process if you think about it, without the placenta and all the fallopian tubing and the whatever else goes on in there.
You know, Pamela Anderson kept her placenta in her freezer.
Really?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a great moisturizer.
Yeah, see, that's weird. That's all right. She's a devil, gypsy devil woman from New Orleans. Who's next? Tom?
Masturbation.
Uh-huh. Uh-oh. 3 seconds.
I don't like to watch other guys do it. I'll tell you that right now.
Ooh.
Thank you.
Pulled out.
It's a close one. Sergio?
It's Sergio.
What was that, Sergio?
I was thinking a complete Lamborghini collection.
Mm-hmm. Well, how can I complain about Lamborghinis?
Yeah.
I'll tell you how I can complain about Lamborghinis. The Lamborghini Miura, which is a car I'd always like.
No.
What are you talking about?
That's your favorite car, you told me.
Okay, but here's my point, and this is why I can complain about anything. Yeah. I love the Lamborghini Miura. Beautiful, sexy, V12, transverse mounted, Italian. I mean, the first and the only, the sexiest sports car ever come out of Europe. And when I used to look at them many years ago, they were like $30,000. Then I looked at them 10 years ago, and they were $60,000. Then I looked at them 5 years ago, and they're $110,000. Now they're $250,000, and I never did squeeze the trigger. Point is, if I would have bought one when I should have bought one, I'd be up $200,000 right now.
That's right.
All right. How many does your dad have, Claudia, by the way?
Lamborghinis?
Yes.
A couple. He never bought them.
Wow.
He took them when he killed off the guys.
Bobby?
Yeah, how about your...
Oh, hold on. I forgot to hit that. Yes, go ahead.
About your wife's vagina.
Yeah. Oh, I don't have to talk about it. It knows how I feel. I caught it with Coolier's package last week. I stormed out of the room.
You're bailing out.
What? How dare you? Was that an attack?
I think it was.
Wow. I don't need that. Please, do not call this show again. Here's one. We'll go line three. Chase?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
I was wondering, how can you complain about, like, the little condiment packages, like relish, onions, mustard, ketchup, and mustard, and mayo?
Well, first off, you always forget about the rogue one when you're taking food out from the car and you sit on it and it busts under the seat. The other thing, though, for anyone who's ever milked one of the mayonnaise packets, nothing gayer. You just biting on it. First you bite on it, so there's like oral going on, and then there's you just milking it as this white, creamy substance comes out of it. You two smoking?
Yeah, not enough
afterward.
In them. That's the beef. And they don't have blue cheese dressing enough at restaurants.
Right.
In those
That's right. Thank you. One more. Who's next? Stan?
Hey, I'm just wondering, how can you complain about porn and angry porn?
I don't like, as I've said before, I don't like the new breed of porn. I don't like all the spitting. That spit, by the way, when I see that spit go back and forth, that is just a rope bridge of disease. That's what I look at. I look at it as the little venereal disease is just marching across the rope bridge that is between her mouth and his honker. And then the tats and the aggressive piercings and the sort of angry love. I don't like it. Call me old fashioned. I like the old soft one. I like when the navel wasn't pierced and the hood was unclad with jewelry. Thank you.
Child porn.
Thank you.
How
dare
fashion.
You put words in my mouth? Well, that's enough. I'm tapped out.
I think
Claudia's
got
round.
One or two.
What do you got?
Blonde
you got them
haired,
for me?
Blonde haired, yeah. Blue eyed women.
I don't like the blonde hair with the black roots. A lot of women do that, where they dye the hair blonde, but they leave the roots black. It's a bad look to me.
Okay, can I borrow your hat?
Yes, you want to wear it? Yeah. No, you don't really have that. You have a little sort of mixed weave thing going, but I'm talking about black roots and blonde hair. I don't like it. Blue eyes, nice, but here's the problem with blonde-haired, blue-eyed women, if I may get philosophical for a second here. They're bright. They're like a supernova, but they burn out quickly. None of them make it past 40. They all look like crap after their 40th birthday. They look great when they're 19 and 20. That's when you should get them. But they all go by the wayside after age 40. Whereas if you pick a more conservative look, the darker hair, the darker complexion, the darker eyes, maybe it never has its prime, but holds well in the 50s and 60s.
Not if you use olive oil as a moisturizer.
That's back to olive oil again. So the point is either hook up with a woman who has the dark complexion and stay with her, or go from one blonde to the next.
Investing in a long-term stock is the equivalent. A nice, small, dark.
Yeah, like you basically do. You go the Scott Baio route. Just keep it moving. Right. Keep the blondes on rotation. Anything else? I got to get this stinger figured out. There we go. What else you got? That it?
I think she's been defeated.
All right.
I got one. You want one?
Yeah, give me
one more. 8-cylinder engines.
You know what? 8-cylinders are normally American engines, and I don't like it. Old technology, push rods, underhead cams, carbureted, iron blocks, iron heads. I don't like this Detroit American muscle, and that's normally the... and also, not getting the horsepower they should get for the capacity that they're putting out. You know, Ferrari makes an engine, it's 3 liters, and it's got 350 horsepower. The Detroit makes one, it's 6 liters, and has 250 horsepower.
You just lost all your female listeners talking about cars.
All right, I never had any to begin with. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Bo Bice is going to be coming in here. He brought his guitar. I don't know if he's singing or what he's doing.
He'll play a little music for us.
He's also doing that Toyota Grand Prix. Speaking of losing female listeners, I did that a few years ago, so we can talk to him about that. Many, many other things after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. He's so hot.
Mm-hmm. Bo Bice. Stealing a little of the Ace Man's thunder by doing vehicle. That's always been my karaoke number.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
So that's what you hit the spots to do.
Mm-hmm. I think you can hear the crowd going insane. Wait till you hear Hell is for Children.
That sounds great, man.
Yeah.
You're in the wrong line of work.
Yeah, I really am. You know? I think everyone who listens to the show would agree I'm in the wrong line of work. Dave, back me up. You've been at more than one man show rap party. When the Ace Man breaks into Hell is for Children by Pat Benatar, dry eye in the house?
What? Powerful stuff.
Powerful.
So is dynamite, but I don't know if I want to mess with that, man.
That's what they used to call me. Bo, all right, that's enough of that. Boy, it's got to be tough. You know, I never really thought about it. I was watching the American Idol last night, and Simon said to somebody who sounded pretty good in person, maybe it was Lisa Tucker, he said, go back and watch it on TV tonight. It's not going to sound as good. And it's one of those things where you think you're looking good, and then you see a picture of yourself, or you think you're a pretty good golfer, or you got a pretty good hoop game, and some guy brings a video camera, and you actually see what you look like dribbling the ball toward the hoop, and you want to kill yourself and vomit at the same time.
I'll never do it again.
I would imagine, especially when you're doing Idol, and especially on TV, because even bands you love, when you see them on Saturday Night Live or Leno or something, it's just... It goes down a grade.
Right.
It goes down a notch. You don't feel the energy and the excitement and everything. Was it tough to watch yourself on TV after you got done performing the song live?
Well, there weren't a lot of opportunities, to be honest, for us, because after you finish with the show, you go immediately either to a, you know, to do interviews or pictures or whatever, mm-hmm. sometimes red carpets, and then you don't really have an opportunity to watch the show afterwards. So, fortunately, I have, you know, a lot of fans that did the whole season and put it on video, DVDs or whatever for me, and I got to kind of relive it when I got home. But, yeah, I mean, you know, there's definitely things that you learn, especially being someone like me who comes from a music background, not a TV background. You know, mm-hmm. I'm the guy that that got put on TV in front of 40 million people that's now trying to convince people that I'm a musician and play right. instruments and do stuff. So, yeah, I think it was a pretty big learning curve to see yourself, but that was what was nice about kind of having walkthroughs.
You were runner up to Carrie Underwood. Do you ever find out how much you were or how little you were a runner up by?
Well, I heard rumor. And this is total speculation for me because I didn't really believe it at first. Someone told me that it was 143 votes.
Wow.
Now, I don't know that's true. I thought it was more like 143,000 sounds more like that to
me. How many votes would come in or will come in?
Man, I don't know.
Isn't it more than the president?
I would imagine
it is,
so.
I think it is.
Whatever it is, it's pathetic. It makes you want to move
more
to Canada.
People, that's right. There's more people that'll vote on American Idol that'll go out and register. That's mm-hmm. awful.
And how does it work in terms of, are you guys sequestered? Do you all have to stay in the same hotel on the same floor?
I won't admit that if I've been sequestered.
Have you?
Sounds painful.
Do you, what is the schedule like during the taping, I guess? Walk us through it.
Well, it's we're pretty much on lockdown. You know, you don't have a lot of. Once you get into the top 12, it becomes very located at you know where you're all staying. For us, it was an apartment. You know, and
oh, you guys, it was an apartment.
Yeah, we didn't do house this year. You know, they did put us in apartments, and so it was Nika for a while. It was Anthony Fedorov, myself, and Scott and Constantine all sharing a four bedroom two bedroom apartment.
Really.
Yeah, so, you know, we just kind of, they keep you under wraps, so you just go into work and record, and mainly I just practiced, man.
Do they, you know? They send a car to pick you up at a certain time?
Go-karts.
And you guys take
go-karts.
Take go-karts over there. And do you have a curfew? Do you have to be in by a certain time?
10 o'clock. 10 o'clock curfew every day.
And you have a sort of a den mom who keeps an eye out on everybody?
Oh, yeah, it's like a contestant coordinator.
Why would they do that? What's the point of that? What do they need to worry about you going out and tripping the light fantastic? You're a rock star after
well,
all.
I don't know about that, man, but I think a lot of people start thinking that they're rock stars and start thinking that they're stars. It's kind of over that overzealousness is what can get people in trouble. So,
well, also, I think it would screw everything up if you went out, got loaded, got arrested, did something stupid, got punched, broke your jaw.
Rock and roll.
That's right. It is rock and roll, but I think the producers don't see it that way. All right, we need to take ourselves a little break. Bo Bice here. Little show called American Idol. Runner-up. Talk to you about the Toyota Grand Prix. I did that a few years back. Yeah. Also, a new album coming out. I saw you. I see you brought your guitar with you.
I carry it with me everywhere, man.
So we can have you play a song, perhaps, and then do the El Kabong move on Dave Damish. Yeah. It's always funny.
El Kabong.
Guy gets hit with a guitar. It's funny.
That's hilarious.
All right. You know what? If they would hunt seals with guitars instead of bats, no one would have a complaint.
Wouldn't be so
They'd
proud
just be
of
laughing.
Them, yes.
Yeah. Guys out there bludgeoning snow seals with guitars and everyone just laughing.
Oh, man.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. Bo Bice here. He'll do a little singing for us, and we'll talk more American Idol after this.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. Bo Bice.
Did you play that just for me, man?
Yes. Although I got to tell you, I like Skynyrd, but I'd like to hear you got that right every once in a while. They got some songs that run a little deeper than just the hits.
Yeah.
Good band. I guess they're excited about you putting them back on the map.
Oh, I don't think I did that.
Well, I think you did.
I don't think they need much help, man. Those guys have been around like 3 decades.
Well, in your world with your crowd, but to the young American Idol fans who may not have been hip to Rosington Collins or whatever they're calling themselves, you putting them back on the map was kind of cool.
Look who knows his Southern Rock.
Yes, I do. I do know my Southern Rock. Bo Bice, again, here. He's going to play for us. Who do you think? I know you haven't been watching every episode, but you have a gut feeling about who the front runners are for this year's Idol?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, I think Chris is doing a great job out there, and him and Taylor Hicks. I mean,
yeah.
I'm a little biased, I guess, towards The Rock. But, yeah, I think they're doing a great job. I
mean, Chris is the bald fella.
Right.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
the guy with the chicane sideburns.
Chicane, that's a racing terminology there.
That's right.
That's worse.
That's sort of the S. That's what he has. Right. Oh, now you know from Toyota Grand Prix. Yeah, I think Ace kind of, he's just a pretty face. He screwed up last night. Wasn't that good. Elliot was all right. It really reminds me how much I hate new music, though, because the category was songs written in year 2000 plus, and they all blew. They all picked horrible songs.
Oh, yeah, the bald guy, Chris, sang Creed.
Yeah, and then someone else was singing a Train song about she walks like June and smells like rain. And just like, oh, please, shut up with that garbage. Even the guys who do it can barely pull it off, but the karaoke version really makes you understand how much most of these songs just blow, especially the self-important rock.
I think these guys, they really, the nerve showed last night.
Yeah.
You know, for some reason,
everyone seemed like
a little
nervy. I hope Kelly, I always like it when Kelly Pickler does bad because she's the only one who apologizes out loud yeah. up there. Like, Simon's like, that was dreadful. Sorry! I shan't be seeing you on, I'm sorry! You sung like fried ass. It won't happen again.
Bice didn't take such guff.
No.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to roll with it. I mean, you know, it's you got to take stuff as constructive criticism from those guys. But, you know, put yourself up by the bootstraps, man, and try to do better.
I was thinking about it, though, and I was watching it, and I thought, you know, this could work in her favor because ultimately it's not the judges that are voting, it's America that votes. Mm-hmm. And when you hear her apologize, you almost want to go, oh, sweetie, it's okay. No, I'll give you a vote. It won't be so bad. No, I'm voting. I'm calling right now. It's cool. Stop crying, sweetie. Yeah, if you got up there, if you're a guy and you had your arms folded and Simon was digging you a new a-hole and you said, I stand by my work, that's not very sympathetic, but you crying and saying, it won't happen again. That could get you a few thousand more votes.
The sympathy vote, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's it, man.
We got a big fan of Bo Vice on the phone. Dina?
Hello.
What's up?
Hey, is this Bo?
Hey, Dina, how are you?
Hey, great. How you doing?
I am doing well, thank you.
Oh, good. I just wanted to call you and tell you I'm calling from Vegas, and I watched you, obviously, on American Idol like everybody else did.
Thanks.
And I just think you rock, and I think you need to come to Vegas.
Man, I would love to come back to Vegas. You know, I didn't have too good... The past three times I've went to Vegas, I ended up in the hospital two of them and having surgery one of them. So
really?
That's the odds in Vegas for some reason didn't add up for me.
What happened? A trick went bad?
I promise I'll never be shot out of a cannon again.
Is that what happened? You know? No. So I've had some rough experiences with the male prostitutes over there. These guys think they're the king of Siam.
Don't use your credit card for that.
Yeah,
kind of stuff,
I didn't know that. You know, hey, look, if you can't use plastic, say it up front, and then don't get physical on me when I'm trying to...
That's not where the card goes, man.
Now, Bice, this woman calling
you,
in, your groupie here. You've got a groupie out in Vegas. This makes me... You got married just as your star broke big.
Right.
Do you regret this?
Not at all.
All these groupies lining up for you.
I've got a wonderful wife and a beautiful son, so I'm truly grateful and grateful to people like Dina that checked out the show and want us to come back to Vegas because I'm out on the road cruising around and having the time of my life, man. So beautiful. My wife knows I'm not dead. I'm just married, so I can look at beautiful women all day.
Interesting. Open marriage.
Nice prenup.
I don't know about open. She knows. she keeps me on the porch.
He's just a totally down to earth guy, and I just think you're just so cool. And
I
think you're my American Idol. So
thank you so much.
You're speaking of Damashek now, right?
No.
Okay. No. Sorry.
He needs to turn down his voice a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Wow.
Great.
Wow. Sorry.
Good day, your nails.
Sorry about that. And what about love between contestants? You know, you guys all huddled together for weeks, feeling the pressure of the competition.
Warm.
You'll turn to the arms of whoever's closest, and that's what happens. By the way, that's what happens on these sitcoms. They do 5-6 seasons. Everyone's 17, 18, 19, and they just take up with, you know, the whole cast of Melrose Place and 90210 just end up boffing each other because they're working together for 12 hours a day. Right. Any heat like that on the American Idol set?
No. You know, it was pretty laid back. I think everybody was, We were such good friends. You know?
No.
I don't know.
No dirt.
Now, like I said, I can't.
Yes. You mean to tell me you expect us to believe that Paula Abdul did not molest you?
Yeah,
at
how many
some
times
point
did you do her?
Unfortunately, do you...
No.
Would you have turned Paula Abdul down personally?
No.
No, that's my point.
But I wouldn't have turned Randy Jackson down if it meant a vote. Because that's the way I play to win. I play to win. I don't make excuses.
You're in for the long haul.
That's right. All right. What do we got? You going to do a live song for us?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'd love to. This is...
Elvis for Children?
Debating. Yeah, you know, debating what to do. And mm-hmm. The single, The Real Thing, is doing great, and we're proud of it. But also on the album, I was able to do some writing with, mm-hmm. with Cliff Magnus, and that was one of the things that I really wanted to set out to do. And Clive Davis really gave me an opportunity, I feel like, to showcase some of my songs. And
Clive Davis has got to be 170 years old now, right? And he's been producing... He produced Al Jolson, his first record, like in the teens. I mean, how long can this guy produce hits?
Man, I don't know, but he keeps going, you know, and he's definitely got a talent for what he does. And it's one of those things, being a songwriter and a guy that produces and writes and plays different instruments, to have someone, when you bring your ideas to them, mm-hmm. kind of tweak them, and it's
so he's hands on.
He's very hands on.
Wow.
You know, well, not touchy feely.
No,
but
not
in the music sense.
Right, I understand. It's in a context.
I've got to clarify these things with you, man. I know you.
So you'll do an original composition for us.
This is one called Valley of Angels. I'm going to try to do that one for you. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
I've been down and done nothing at all, and sometimes I think I've grown. Never try to let it show, 'cause I'm not alone. If you sing this song, I'll take you there. If you don't care, we're going to the Valley of Angels to swim in their deep blue sea, surrounded by your faith and your glory. It's where I find my peace, find true peace in the Valley of Angels. In the Valley of Angels, I've heard so many stories, I thought they were lies, but you know they're true. Know that I had quit before I even tried. Don't you quit now, boy. I stood up one day and I found myself. Now I'm not alone. If you sing this song, I'll take you there. Oh, now if you don't care, yeah, you come with me. We're going to the Valley of Angels, swim in the deep blue sea, surrounded by your faith and your glory. It's where I find my peace. Oh, now I find true peace. In the Valley of Angels, Well, thank you guys, man.
I waited a beat because several times I've done it where I went, hey, that was fun, and the I feel like an a-hole jumping in, you know, so I said, wait on that. That was beautiful.
Thank you, bro.
Bo Bice, Chops. That's what it is. No teeny bopper, no popcorn, bubblegum rock here. That is Chops. Just an acoustic guitar and set of lungs. Nice job.
Well, that's it's not anything I set out to do, just to have some fun. And if it wasn't for cats like you, you know, let me come on here and do this stuff, man, I'd just be sitting around and at the house eating.
That's what I love. You know,
Captain Crunch.
Humble.
Drinking Heineken's.
Nice fella.
Keeping it real. That's right. Goes home, does a rail of blow, beats the crap out of the old lady. But keeping it real on radio. That's the point. That's what I like. He knows I'm right. Bo Bice, everybody. The real thing.
True.
Name of the CD. We'll see you at the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach.
That's
April
it,
8th. I will be there.
Thanks,
that event. All right. News, sports, all coming up after this.
It's time now for free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
Dear James Tony, I'm confused about my husband's behavior. He is very smart and works as a computer programmer. Whenever I have a problem with my computer and ask him to help me with it, he gets mad and rants and raves about how he told me how to fix the problem months ago, or he insists that I really should know how to fix it or figure it out for myself. I don't know what to do. If I ask for help, he gets mad and belittles me for not knowing how to fix it myself. But I get the same treatment if I have it repaired by someone else. Is there a way out of this no-win situation? Signed, darned if I do, darned if I don't.
Dear Don, by now it should be clear to you that your problem has nothing to do with computers. Your computer whiz of a husband takes all this frustration by verbally abusing you. The way out of this no-win situation is to get to the bottom of what's really bugging him. My advice is to drag him to a marriage counselor or drop him before you're being
Free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
All right. Well, James sort of coasted to a stop on that one, but I think she got the gist. She knew what direction he was heading in, that's for sure. All right. Thank you. The sagely James
smooth.
Tony. Silky smooth advice stylings of James Lights Out Tony. Claudia DeFalco is in, filling in for Rachel Perry, and doing a wonderful job. And let me tell you something. You usually get your choice. You get your choice between people who can talk and people who look hot.
Mm-hmm.
We chose looking hot in the case of... No. Claudia.
I'm okay with that.
Claudia can do them both. That's right. She
Have
can talk
nice
and
time?
Look hot.
Do you say that to all the girls
no,
who sit here?
No, I
Are
don't.
Are you sure?
No, you're beautiful and
all
you
right.
sound great.
I just got baggage.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I haven't figured that out yet. But how have you been? Has this been an okay experience for you?
Yeah, I took my medication this morning when I got up at 3:30,
mm-hmm.
drove in here. I think I'm okay.
Took your cat's Prozac and came on in?
Absolutely.
3:30. She's a hard worker.
I like
Again,
that.
Something else not to like about her.
We will now move ahead with Claudia.
And I've been declawed, yes. by the way. It's not so bad.
No, I wouldn't mind you taking one of your paws and putting a bloody stripe down my back. A little rough trade. Easy, Brusca. As a lesbian, it must turn you on. To see you. All right, Claudia. Now, all right, please, Brusca, pot yourself down. It's time for Claudia DeFalco and the news.
In Baghdad, gunmen dressed as Iraqi police killed 9 people in a store. This is the latest in a series of attacks targeting businesses in the capital. You thought you had a bad day.
Yeah.
In entertainment news.
We were yapping about this before, but really, how long does it take to get a police outfit in Baghdad, Iraqi? Here's a Sharpie, Hamid. Write policeman on your wife beater and go on in. There you go. That's right.
On your burqa.
Yeah, put this paper hat on and head on in there. Yeah.
In entertainment news, Jessica Simpson may have filed for divorce last December, but now the 25-year-old singer says she wants to adopt a baby. Well, so much for being young, free, and glamorous. Here she is talking to Extra.
I know that I will adopt. I want to adopt before I actually have my own kids.
She thinks adopt means acclimate herself to her environment, though. And then overcome adversity. She doesn't know it means bringing. I think she confused it with adapt.
Well, as we discussed, you know, I'm all in favor of her adopting, given mm-hmm. that it will keep her bum nice and small.
Yeah, I'm all in favor of anything that keeps her off of the stage and away from a goddamn microphone. Because if I hear another bad Nancy Sinatra remake that gets turned into a Pizza Hut commercial, I'm going to kill myself.
You know, she may hold off on the adoption reports. Websites are reporting that she may be dating Dane Cook.
Those two will have, you know, they should make beautiful babies together, though. They're both so attractive, you know? That's my. I've rethought the whole adoption thing. If you're hot, you should get together. We should force you to get together. You know what I mean?
Sure, except that it seems like most of the time when that happens, the spawn is never as attractive. Yeah. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, this should be the most beautiful creature in the history of man.
Right.
But somehow I fear it's going to come up short.
And yeah. I think we should all be graded on a curve as far as our looks go. I'll decide what you look like when I see your parents. Show me a picture of them in their 30s. People see me on the street, they give me a 5.5 or 6. If you saw my parents, 10 plus. Could not have done any better. Really couldn't have.
Adopting hot mama Sharon Stone is shopping around her new flick, Basic Instinct 2. Last night, she told Access Hollywood how gracious Michael Douglas was to her the first time around.
He was wonderful to me when we made that movie, and he took great care of me during those scenes, which I was a lot shyer to do then.
He was wonderful to me when we made that baby.
Imagine, if you think about it, too, she's nipping at Liz Taylor's heels, and she's only 47. I mean, imagine, everyone do the math, go ahead 20 years.
She's now, still hot.
67-year-old Sharon Stone, way too much Botox, and now crazed. Carrying a gaggle of lap dogs with her.
I just read an article about her in Newsweek, and she was talking about the fact that they were sort of taking shots at her. The journalist was saying, like, that she's a big AIDS activist, which is nice, mm-hmm. except that every time the subject comes up, she can't help but start to cry. It just moves her. Every time you broach the subject, she must cry.
If you guys were single, would you date her?
I would give her what I call a vengeance F, and that would be it.
It's an old bag.
Clean myself off with a comforter and make my way home. You know what I realized? I was just thinking about, you know, the greatest pay-per-view ever. I would pay $400 for this pay-per-view. I think we could do it too. We get Sharon Stone, this is a pay-per-view, to hold a press conference. And she starts waxing on about AIDS or about how her cat thinks it's a person. And each time it's interrupted by some guy in the audience who pretends to be a reporter going, "Shut up, you bitch! Just shut up!" You know what I mean? Because instead of screaming at the TV every time they do one of these fluff pieces on her and everyone's laughing, still sexy at 47. My goodness, takes a lot. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Just pay-per-view. We pay her $1 million. We build a whole set. She does a press conference and we start screaming at her halfway into her retarded
You know, if this
answers.
New movie doesn't do well, you may have your chance.
Yeah, I'm going to work on it, yeah.
How about Paula Abdul? Is she an old bag? Last night on American Idol, Paula noticed a scar on Ace's chest, and without missing a beat, purred, "You'll have to explain to me how you got that someday." Now, considering that there's an ex-contestant with a book who claims to have hooked up with Abdul, you can imagine why Randy and Simon jumped in to cool things off. Here's Simon talking to Access Hollywood about Paula's usual ways.
She's always been this way. Yeah. I mean, Paula's kind of a bit erratic, but that's the way Paula is.
Okay, you know who are really erratic? Strippers.
Yeah.
And girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
A guy from England Way took a picture of a stripper with his girlfriend's cell phone.
Yeah.
What does she do? She stabs him, bites his nose off, and gets arrested for causing bodily harm. She was drunk during all this, by the way.
Yeah, strippers are like birds more than they're like people. You know what I mean? Just they flap and they make a lot of noise and they'll go after you with that beak too. Yeah, they're more pets than they are people.
Having said that, I'm Claudia DeFalco and I'm done.
Oh, Mike, guard. Sorry, go ahead.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
NBA. The mighty Clippers closing in on their first playoff spot since the late 19th century. They went down last night to the best team in the West, San Antonio. No matter. Clips still on their way to the postseason. Depending on how things shake out, too, they may even be favored in their first-round series.
Wow.
Imagine the self-esteem issues this will cause for their opponent.
Yeah. It'd be nice, too. It'd be nice to see them do something.
I'd like that very much. It'd be fun. Phoenix Suns, meantime, got creamed by the very mediocre Milwaukee Bucks. No wonder. Their spirits were low. After Amari Stoudemire's knee was hurt again, now they're saying he may be out for the rest of the season. He's their dynamite forward, and if he's out, they probably aren't going to go too deep
well,
in the playoffs.
And we were talking about it yesterday, but after Kasper Weinberger's untimely passing, I'm surprised these guys played at all.
Right. Yeah, to even go out there was brave.
Many of the young
Kasper
guys who left college
wanted it
early.
That way, though.
Yeah, playing with a heavy heart.
By the way, I've said it before, I'll say it again now. When you hear that refrain, you know, he would have wanted us to. You know, this poor guy, this auto race guy, Paul Dana, died, yeah. You know, on the track.
The day of the race.
And they continued on with the race. They went and ran the thing. And part of the logic that they employed was, they always throw this one out, is he would have wanted us to.
Yeah.
Let me tell you now, preemptively, if I die, I want things to be shut down.
Yeah, you're going on record. Right. That's
yes.
right. That's
three,
what
four
I like.
Days of mourning across yes. the land, please, weeping.
Yes.
When people call you for comment, Ace, I'd like you to be too broken up to even make one.
Well,
we don't know if the show will even continue.
Yeah, instead it's going to be who?
Well, we'll rehearse it.
Dave?
If I'm in my deathbed, one of the last things I'll do is I'll script out a touching response.
Well, it's an interesting point at any sport where somebody could pass, especially like auto racing, they should really get them to sign a waiver that says it would be okay or this is the way I would have wanted it.
Right.
Instead, yes, my request would be...
I would tear it up.
We will turn the track into a giant 700-acre mausoleum. Everyone will be forced to wear black. And as a matter of fact, we'll abolish all things with four wheels. Everyone will now go back to riding horses.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing you see, too, is when you die, if you're an old man, mm-hmm. when you're an old guy, Wellington Mayer, the owner of the Giants, he died a few months ago. And you kept seeing pictures of him.
Yeah.
There was a picture taken. He was probably 90 years old or whatever.
Yes.
The picture of him was taken about probably 2 weeks before he died.
Yeah.
Show me in my youth.
That's right.
Get the nice picture of me when I was 20 and had the whole world in front of me.
Before the
life.
Botox. Yes.
I completely agree. We have to see you with the liver spots and the hair falling out, looking like the Crypt Keeper. And then all you can think is, well, I guess it was time for him to go. Look at him.
Yeah. Now, for all time, this is how you're remembered. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to take it a step farther. Don't even show my picture. Find a young Tab Hunter.
Even better.
Yeah,
yes.
Just put my name under it. Well, Corolla was quite a looker at his 30s.
Yeah, just grab a Stella Brando and
yes,
streetcar.
Why
just
not?
Say that's Damashek, please.
Yeah, there you go.
How about a little NFL? Got a taste talking for yesterday. Now the big story is that the commissioner, Paul Tagliabue, who is soon to step down before he does, says that he wants to try to work out getting an NFL team in L.A. by the year 2009. The big thing is, will it be in the Coliseum? Should it be in Anaheim? In which case, they're not L.A. Now they're the Anaheim team, which also makes me crazy, too. But L.A., so maybe they'll move a team here. They talk about this every week and a half, you know,
right.
The idea of creating this. But
you should be able to design the uniform.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'd like that. I'd like to be, you know, as you know, I'd like to oversee all uniforms in sports.
Yeah, but this
but
is how you get your
with,
start.
But to start with is I earn my keep.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of black and orange. Is that nice?
Yeah.
How's that strike?
Not too bangly. I think you go with the gold and the black. You just basically do the Steelers uniform. It'd be confusing when they played each other. But if one wore the road and the other wore the home jersey, it'd be fine.
My homage. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, the big Final Four is coming up fast. UCLA, LSU, Florida, George Mason, and a perennial powerhouse in college basketball. My alma mater, Indiana University, apparently has its new coach, Kelvin Sampson of Oklahoma. You know, mm-hmm. that you might recall that Mike Davis stepped down. He was their coach.
Sure.
Who followed the venerable Coach Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, you know, everybody's in my new Sherpa mm-hmm. of the radio. The guy from, you know, the midday show.
Frosty Heinie Frank Frank.
Yes.
Yes.
Incomparable talent. The what's
yes.
his name?
What?
Is probably on Cloud Nine.
You taking a dig at him?
Mm.
I'm taking no digs.
It's funny because yesterday Frank came in here and basically clobbered Damashek, mm-hmm. Abused him on the air, and Damashek just sat there. And I don't understand that. Why don't you just bury this guy? Why are you so reluctant to say something about
it? It's not my way. You know why? What did I tell you? I'm a man of peace.
Yeah.
I'm a class act.
Bruska, the real beating that Damashek took was not from Frank on the air. It was from you off the air about Frank beating him on the air.
That's exactly
ironically.
Right. What do you want me to do?
Be a man.
Be a man. Listen. Oh, what am I supposed to say? Scoreboard is that's my answer. Look at the scoreboard. I'm in the big leagues. He's in the minors. What am I to say?
I'm just saying. In that segment, it was 10 shots by him to your face, and you just went down, knocked out cold.
Pointed out. Listen. You know, he said he's on a midday show locally. What am I supposed to do? Get upset by him?
Dave, do you want my dad to take care of him?
Yeah.
I'd like that.
Have Claudia's dad bury
him. Give me his address.
Given the circumstances, I would be bummed if I were him, too. I've been doing this for 3 months. Look where I am. He's been doing what he's been doing for 10 years. Look where he is. Wow. What's to be said? I am a big leaguer. I'm the starting third baseman on the Dodgers, yeah. And I'm being attacked by a double-A ball player. Frank, he got beamed in the head, and now isn't thinking right.
Wow. Frank, at least he doesn't drink his own urine. Frank must be torn right now because he said whenever Damashek comes on and starts yelling, he turns his radio off. But that's when he's yelling about Coach Knight or Terry Bradshaw. But then yelling about him, he has to be torn.
I'm a class act.
Yeah, you see? I'd like to see you bury him back.
All right.
We differ.
Well, I appreciate it. He did say that he doesn't want to get me fired. Thanks, Midday Guy, for... holding back on me. I don't think you got the juice.
All right. This is getting uncomfortable. You finished? Are you quite done?
I don't like being attacked by Brusca. You're exactly right. That's what I resent.
Listen, you know Brusca is. I'll tell you what Brusca.
If you want, I'll play that tape. It was literally, I was embarrassed for you. I was like, really? You have the tape?
Brusca, well, first off, lesbians are more aggressive than just regular chicks. They just are with the steel toe boots.
I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
Haircuts. But Brusca's the guy who's, you know, there's a little scrum inside the bar. It gets pushed out to the street. And then there's that one moment where you have to decide. Have to decide whether to continue or not. And that's when the dudes start coming out. Hey, dude, all I'm saying is, dude, when you're talking to another man's lady, dude, you got to show a little dude. And then the guy fires back with 500 bros. Hey, bro, I got no problem with you. Okay. I'm just saying. Now, see, it's macho dude and bro talk to try to back off a little, sort of diffuse the situation. And then here comes a drunken lesbian Brusca right in the middle. Hey, he called you a pussy. And the next thing you know, the fists are flying and the cops are showing up.
I take the high road. That guy from the local midday show is one classy dude.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
We will take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we have some exclusive tape of the Zacharias Massaoui trial. He basically got up there a few days ago and cooked his own goose. He was doing all right. His lawyers had some decent, made some decent points, as they always do, which is, look, if you bumbling FBI guys did know about this, what the F would you have done about it anyway? Anyone who's seen FEMA snap into action over New Orleans and many other governmental agencies at work realize they're probably right. They could have told him everything they wanted to know, and the planes would have still hit the towers 2-3 weeks later. But he kept going, and we got that
tape. Basically buried himself.
He buried himself.
How.
Yeah, after this.
Hey, man, this is Tommy Chong, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. We got some closing remarks. It's the closing of the Massaoui trial. The guy really... put a hole in his own dinghy by taking the stand and saying some of the things he said earlier.
Would-be terrorist, Zacharias Massaoui. He was supposed to supposedly fly the fifth plane into the White House, or so he claims, basically hanging himself.
Yeah.
No one thought that was the case. They just thought he knew stuff about the 9/11 plot.
Yeah, and as I think about it, flying a large plane into the White House probably would have done it. I mean, you know, there's all sorts of bulletproof this, and there's all sorts of tunnels and bunkers, and there's stuff on the roof. I think there's some anti-aircraft, whatever, on the roof, but I don't think anything would have stopped that plane. And then once that plane hit that structure, I don't know. I think it would have killed the president.
No, he wasn't there. He was down in
Florida.
Oh, he
wasn't?
Yeah, remember, he's sitting there reading to the kids.
Hold on. Yeah, but still.
Oh, well played.
Well, whoever was in there would have got his old lady. I don't know if she was with him. Would have got Dick Cheney. Would have got Condoleezza or whoever else.
Yep.
But him being in another state is something I'm going to have to look into. They still might have got him. That's all I'm saying. Should have flown in school. Don't they have his itinerary, by the way? You know, did they know he was going to be at that school? How fortified is a junior high? Well, that's, flown it into that.
That's sitcom star Chaz Sheen's big new thing, you know, his big theory about that it was all a conspiracy, 9/11. That's his big contention. And isn't it funny or fishy that the FBI, I mean, the Secret Service guys didn't swarm to the president as soon as they heard of an attack, that they left him sitting there? This is his big contention.
Yeah. I think, to be fair to Chaz Sheen, his brain has been eaten by syphilis and bad hooker perfume. Because that'll cause damage. That's like just like huffing copier toner.
I know I didn't like it. Yeah, I know it's really actually bad. Causing long-term
it does. Yeah.
Smelly pirate hooker.
That's what happened to my frontal lobe. They put it on thick over there so they don't have to
shower so much.
Brave
to press on.
Thank you. All right, so we have tape of that. Again, Monday he got on the stand and really did damage, but today... He really did.
Moussaoui buried himself further.
Yeah, so. I mean, in terms of, certainly in terms of public opinion. Listen to some of these outrageous things he said.
Richard Reed and I were to fly a plane into the White House on September 11th. I intended to go to Arlington Cemetery and light my farts with the eternal flame of John F. Kennedy's grave. I wished to sit on the Lincoln Memorial and use his lap as a toilet while reading Barely Legal.
See, I wouldn't stand for that.
To the Veterans Hospital. Sneaked up behind shell-shocked World War II veterans and loudly shout, "Incoming!" That would have been good.
See, I'm saying, if you're trying to make friends with any citizens of this country, this is not the way to do it.
No, he just seems downright sinister.
Yeah, it's almost sort of daring.
Right.
The folks in the jury to give him the death penalty. Do we have any more? Evidently, there's more. It goes on.
Oh, no. I was going to kidnap the Bush daughters and make them perform pornographies on each other, and then sell the video to drunk frat guys on late night TV.
I think the Bush girls already did.
I wanted to fly to Hawaii, go to the Pearl Harbor Memorial, and pee into the sunken remains of the USS Arizona.
Oh, so 3,000 souls down there.
I was going to use an American flag. Strangle the Toby Keith.
Oh, no.
Not the American institution, Toby Keith.
No. Again, this
that
is...
That cuts it.
Yeah. Is there any more? There's more. Yeah. Wow. This guy's really a loose cannon.
I was going to use a rock scaling harness, climb the face of Mount Rushmore, and use my feces to paint a mustache on Thomas Jefferson.
Oh.
Richard Reed and I wanted to use a drill to bore a hole in the Vietnam Wall, then use it as a glory hole.
All right, he sickens me.
I plan to go to the National Zoo in Washington, D.C. and rape the pandas, and then kill a bald eagle and use its feathers to tickle a prostitute.
You know what? I've heard enough.
I'll let me tell you something. Enough. In my personal opinion, this guy seems like a jerk.
Yeah. No, look, you know, I know you're not pro-death penalty, but I think you'll make exception for this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, there's more. Jesus Christ, he just keeps going. All right,
I was going to dig up the remains of Jimi Hendrix, Kurt Cobain, the Janis Joplin, Mama Cass, and Buddy Holly, and stage an all-corpse marionette version of The Death of a Salesman. And I was going to go to the National Holocaust Memorial and shout, "Hey, look, it's Hitler!" And when everybody turned around, I would say, "I gotcha." I don't even want to know what I was going to do to the Statue of Liberty. Let's just say it involved a cement truck, a barge, and 287 pounds of red dye.
Oh, no. That is... Yeah, I hope they... you know what? I say lethal injection is too good for this guy.
I mean,
they draw and quarter him in the center of town.
If he walks on a technicality, injustice,
yeah.
I say.
Yeah, and talk about a tough client, you know, if you're representing this guy.
Yeah.
Insists on making those kind of inflammatory statements in front of the jury. Well, that's it, right? Yeah, I've heard enough. Let's go to more depressing news. Zach?
Yeah?
You want to defend Damashek?
Yes, sir. First of all, I want to say that I love your show very, very much, and I want to say that all these people that call up and tell Dave to quiet down are angry old farts.
Yes.
Dave, he's awesome. He's hilarious.
Yeah, I agree.
He's dynamite. We're big fans, as is he.
I'm falling over myself with words. Me and my brother go back and forth doing our impression of him and laugh every time. We love him. Mm-hmm. Hey, You are the man. Keep up the good work. Don't let these people get you down.
I like this sack. I'll say you fish tank. They like you back.
I think you called him Sack. Yes, I agree. Very sad. Yes, sad Zach. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And again, if you want to do a Damashek impersonation, you just do a bad Adam impersonation, right. And you'll arrive at Damashek.
Yeah.
Bob?
Yeah.
You have an invention?
I have an invention for the good of all men everywhere.
Let's hear it.
You know, I've applied for the patent, but this is just something that everybody has to know about.
All right.
It resembles a common claw hammer mm-hmm. that you can get anywhere. Mm-hmm. And if you young man wants to see if he's ready for marriage, he takes this hammer mm-hmm. with a hammering end mm-hmm. and he hits himself in the head about 50 times.
Uh-huh.
And if he likes that, he's ready for marriage.
Okay.
And then about 5 years down the road, if he decides he wants to have kids,
mm-hmm.
you turn that around to the claw end,
mm-hmm.
and you hit yourself in the head about 50 times.
Right.
If you like that, you're ready for kids.
All right. You understand Likas isn't on the air yet, right? It's still the morning show. He's coming on in about 6 hours. All right. Thank you. I don't know if it was worth staying on hold for 4 days for that, but all right. Well, that's... The show is mercifully ground to a halt.
Out on a mediocre note.
I think that's enough. Well, let's not peek. It's only Wednesday. I want to give thanks where thanks are due. Bo Bice, salt of the earth. Bo Bice, the real thing in stores now. That's the name of his CD. Also going to be doing the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach, April 8th. Coming up, I'll be there. Bob Saget, the... surprisingly quick-witted Bob Saget. Don't let sitcoms fool you. He's a funny guy. He's going to be at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel April 6th with Whoopi Goldberg and Ray Romano. For tickets, call 1-800-441-CURE. 1-800-441-CURE. It's for a very worthy cause. Dave Coulier's package. Always, always a delight. Saucy. And, of course, Claudia DeFalco for coming in and doing a great job filling in for Rachel Perry.
Thank you.
No, thank
you. I'm half asleep.
That's all right.
Sorry.
So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Mahalo.